You're good then?
We're all good.
Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. We'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for joining us. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Hold on, just give me a second. I just marked this one. All right. Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Presente.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present. Prior to our regular agenda items this evening, City Council will be conducting two public hearings. The first public hearing is to consider the regular agenda items. We'll conduct that public hearing to review and accept public comment on the proposed use of funds to be received under the 2020 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice X Assistance Grant, known as JAG, in the amount of $41,034. The second public hearing will be to accept public comment on the proposed zoning ordinance text amendment petitioned dated June 22nd, 2020, and submitted on behalf of Bethlehem Manor Village LLC, requesting an amendment to section 1305.1b of the city's zoning ordinance to allow for grocery store use in the industrial zoning district. This request was made in connection with the potential construction of a grocery store at 1838 Center Street in the city of Bethlehem. In connection with the second public hearing, there are two communications, which I will ask the clerk to read. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, stating that at their August 13, 2020 meeting, the City Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend that the City Council should not approve the proposed zoning ordinance amendment to allow a grocery store use as a permitted use in the institutional zoning district.
And also communication 6B.
A memorandum from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission commenting on the requested zoning text amendment to allow a grocery store as a permitted use in the institutional zoning district. The memo states, among other things, that the draft ordinance has the potential to encourage land use regulations to facilitate development in centers along the corridors should appropriate accommodations be made. However, as presented, the proposal is generally inconsistent with the county comprehensive plan because it proposes the introduction of a grocery store use in the institutional zoning district throughout the municipality, which is inconsistent with the intent of the zoning district and because by right commercial development in the district does not adequately guide the location and intensity of development. There are additional comments contingent on the city's desire to further consider the proposed use.
Thank you, Mr. Bodoni. We'll start with our first public hearing, which is called to order. I will now recognize Mark DeLuzio, Chief of Police, to discuss the proposed 2020 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant. After that, I'll recognize members of council for comment, and if members of the public have comment, they may call in after that as well. So I'll turn to Police Chief DeLuzio.
Good evening. This is the 2020 Edward Byrne Memorial JAG Grant. It's put out by the U.S. Department of Justice. We've received this grant since about 2011 or 12 each year. We file the application. They advise us whether we receive it or not, and then it comes before council for approval. The money requested in this grant, as in the past years, has been used to upgrade the department's computerized system, its hardware, software. We also use it to update our Power DMS document management system. That's the one that maintains all our accreditation records, directives, training, and certification. And we're also going to use the grant fund, which we do as in prior years, to replace the laptops that are in the cruisers that take a beating from being in a car all summer, winter, and all different seasons. They also is used for the label printers, printer ribbons, ink cartridges, and all the different, you might say, site items that are used with our computer systems in the car, also in the desk sergeant office, and in our property evidence room.
Thank you, Chief. And I'm not sure if you know off the top of your head how many years the city has applied and received this grant.
I know it's either 2011 or 2012, because it was before I came in. I was at the 14, and it was 2 or 3 years before that. I think I said it at the financial meeting on last Monday or so.
Okay.
It was 11 or 12. It's been close to 10 years.
And is the $41,000 number, is that similar to what we received last year?
Yes. Now, that number does change yearly. This $41,000 may go up some because we have some funds from last year that we didn't use. And by federal law, they get rolled into the funds when we receive this $41,000. So that may actually be higher a little, but that's from the funds just approved last year already. So it will usually go up. It goes up a little bit mostly every year.
Thank you. And my last question is, I imagine that these funds are earmarked specifically for the uses that you laid out this evening and can't be used for other items?
Yes, they could only be used for those items I laid out. That's documented in a federal grant application. If you use it for anything else, it's a violation of the grant application and federal law.
Understood. Thank you. I'll turn to council now, first to Mr. Colon as Public Safety Chair, and then anyone else if they have any questions or comments regarding the JAG grant for Chief DeLuzio.
All my questions were answered. Thank you.
Any other members of council? Seeing none, I'll end this call with the Chief and open up for public comment. Thank you for joining us this evening, Chief.
Thank you.
If there are any members of the public who wish to make comment specifically and only on this item, the public hearing at hand, which is the JAG grant for $41,034, they may do so at this time. That number is 610-997-7963. Again, if you'd like to make comment, member of the public, to specifically and only this item, the JAG grant the city is applying for $41,000, the number to do that at is 610-997-7963. We'll also be having a second public hearing immediately after this. And then be accepting public comment in our typical fashion. And we do have a few names who are already on that list. Seeing no callers, the first public hearing is adjourned. Moving to the second public hearing, I will call to order considering a proposed zoning ordinance text amendment petition requesting an amendment to section 1305.1b of the city's zoning ordinance to allow for grocery store use in the industrial zoning district. I will now recognize a representative of the petitioner to discuss the zoning text amendment request. Mr. Atiyya.
Yes, Council, thank you for having us tonight. We appreciate it. My name is Abraham Richard Atiyya. I'm the owner of the site of 5 acres, plus I have an additional 2 acres in the back. I have a potential customer called Lidl Groceries interested in placing a Lidl's grocery store about 20,000 square feet footprint on the corner, the signalized corner of the site, taking up about 3 acres of the parcel. I would have 2 acres to the right, possibly add on the medical office, and then I'd have the additional 2 acres in the back. I looked at this as, I know it's not permitted in that zone, but I looked around, I did some research, and so did Lytle do the research, that there's a void in the market in Bethlehem for a grocery store. You can't, there's, if you're in Center City Bethlehem, you go all the way up, you have to go to Elias Market or all the way over to Valley Farm Market to find a grocery store. There used to be a grocery store on Steffco, Bottom Dollar, that closed down, that served Center City. Right now, it's not about even DO. This is more about the need for a grocery store in Bethlehem. The path of the psych hospital and treatment, that's all irrelevant to this case. We're asking council to confirm or say maybe I'm wrong or maybe Lytle's is wrong that there is no demand for groceries. Lytle's did their research. They're a big company from Germany. They make their own products, very high quality food at a good price. They're known international. It's like, when they want to be in Center City Bethlehem, they chose this site over all the sites in Bethlehem. They looked at Martin Calvers. They looked. Why did they choose this site? I asked them, why did you choose this site? They said, because it's a retired, it's a nice, beautiful residential neighborhood. And that's what they choose. They're in some of the most expensive areas in the country. They're in Massachusetts. They're in New York. And they're in the very high quality neighborhoods, with mature neighborhoods. So they don't want to be in a commercial zoning district where you're around all this mess and traffic. They serve neighborhoods. It's groceries. So I looked at it and said, "Damn, my site is a good use. You know, this location is perfect for a grocery store that's going to serve the 2-3 mile demographic. You're not going to have people driving in from the suburbs to shop here. It's going to serve the community. What better of a use? We have an institutional zone in a residential neighborhood. Yeah, we understand that, but why not try and infill this with something that's going to serve the neighbors, not going to generate a lot of traffic? There's a lot of population density downtown, the Center City, Bethlehem. You go Liberty High School, you go all around Lincoln Street. If you search out, there's a lot of people in there that would love to go to groceries here. And even all the neighbors on Center Street, up to McKay Road, Hanover Township, would come here to shop at Lytle's. Specialty products. So I don't personally think there's going to be a big conflict, but you know, we're just looking to add grocery store to this location. Whether it's in an institutional zone or not, if the council doesn't like the project, like a grocery store neighborhood, I respect your decision. Just vote it down and say no. I'm all right with that. I'm not going to challenge you or any. I have no interest in that. I'm not building this grocery store myself. I have Lytle's. And they're high quality grocery stores. So if you guys turn it down, no problem. I just pursue something, some other use in this zone that's going to, you know, basically match what's permitted by right. I'm not looking for a fight. I think it's a good use because I own the remaining land, the 2 acres and the 3 behind it, if Lytle chooses this site. So I think ultimately, the Becca High School, the churches, Kirkland Village, a lot of that would complement a grocery store. And I think if Center Street historically it would look like a nice residential zone. And most of the council members know this area well. You're all skilled. Center Street has turned into 512 highway. It's not like it used to be. Quiet. You go there in the morning, you got tractor trailers, dump trucks, school buses. I'll guarantee a traffic impact has doubled or tripled over the last 10 years on that road. It's not the nice center, you know, with the quiet, you know, it's loud, it's noisy, it's traffic. So, you know, it's changing. If you go from Center Street up to 22, up to 512, where Panera's up there, and the amount of activity going on, it's a nice road coming into Center City, so I don't think it's going to be a conflict with being on Center Street and what the surrounding neighbors are because it serves the neighborhood. That's all I have. I'm open to questions if council has any questions for me.
Thank you, Mr. Utia. I'm sure we may have some comments or questions for you this evening, but we will proceed with our public hearing as it's been laid out. So at this point, I will recognize Darlene Heller, Planning and Zoning Director, to discuss the City Planning Commission's recommendations related to the zoning text amendment request. And then after that, it'll be an opportunity for council to ask questions of both sides there.
Thank you. You did already know that the Planning Commission unanimously voted not to approve or to recommend approval of the amendment as it's written. I'm just going to go through some of the comments in our memo to the Planning Commission. These are, I think, some of the major reasons that they voted the way that they did. But the main concern is that the revision would actually apply to all properties within the institutional zoning district. It's not drafted in a way that affects only the property where the applicant is proposing to do the use. And we took a look at the institutional zone. It's in a zone that's intended to provide a variety of uses that generally serve the public. Some of those uses include things like places of worship, schools, colleges, medical centers, hospitals, societies, and organizations of a public character. And it's broad-ranging in some ways, but still very limited. Retail uses are permitted, but only as an accessory use to a hospital facility or something similar to that. The institutional zone also includes all of our city parks and all of open space. So the institutional zone includes South Mountain, Lehigh and Moravian campuses, all of the Bethlehem area school district properties, a lot of properties where really an intense retail use would just not work. Some of those areas are sloped and wooded, and if we add the use to the institutional zone, all of those properties would include grocery stores and permitted use. We also took a look at the comprehensive plan. It talks about compatibility with our neighborhood commercial zones. Our neighborhood commercial zones now include things like East and West Broad Street, East 4th Street, Linden Street, areas that are very different in character than any of our institutional zoning districts. Also, the way that this is drafted, it just allows a grocery store by right with no parameters. Doesn't limit the footprint, doesn't have a requirement for parking, there's really just no parameters on it. So I will concede, and you know, it's pretty much well known, we are looking for opportunities for a grocery store in Center City. And there are areas of the city that are food deserts. This area of the city is not, but there are areas of Bethlehem that are recorded as food deserts. We would like to find some place for a grocery store that's more compatible with the surrounding area than this property would be, and that most of the properties in the institutional zone would be. So that's basically just a summary of the comments that we discussed at the Planning Commission meeting and internally in our own office. If you have any questions, of course, we'll try to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. I will imagine that members of council will have some questions and discussion this evening. Do you have any feel for, I guess it's probably challenging to measure how many different parcels or how much actual acreage that this change would affect? So I guess the question is how large is the industrial zoning district spread out through the city?
It's not industrial, it's institutional.
Pardon me, thank you.
We didn't really take account of the number of properties or look at the actual acreage. But you can visualize things like all of Lehigh's campuses. That's Goodman campus, that's a lot of the top of the mountain, Packer campus, all of Moravian College's properties, all of Lehigh Valley Hospital's properties. There's quite a few large campuses that include open space within the campus. And those areas would be obviously included in an amendment like this.
So obviously it's one of the largest districts, you know, acreage-wise in the city, if you include all those in the institutional zoning district.
Correct. The size of all of our parks, you know, it's a lot of acreage.
Sure. And I guess the obvious question that is at hand is why, and you may not be the person to ask this, this may be for Mr. Attia, why the change to the entire city zoning ordinance and not specifically to this property to get relief for the intended use at this parcel?
Well, getting relief for this parcel would probably entail a visit to the zoning hearing board, and they would need to request a variance, a use variance, to allow that use on the property.
Understood.
And I other avenue.
I'll turn, I guess, that same question to Mr. Attia.
Thank you, Councilman Waldron. That's a very good question. And I like that because, first of all the rest of the institutional zones are owned by colleges, institutions that are not private developers like me. I think I'm the only one that owns an institutional tract in the city of Bethlehem. So if Lehigh University wants to open up a grocery store, God bless them. I think it's a good idea to serve our students or to serve South Bethlehem. You know, if Lehigh Valley Hospital wants to open up a grocery store, God bless them. It's a good thing. Grocery stores are good uses. People eat food, you know, and things. You know, it's a great thing. So I feel that, you know, allowing, if you look at some of the uses that are permitted in institutional zone, they're scary. You know, what could go. And I don't want to threaten that. And I have no intention on doing it because I love the city of Bethlehem. It's a great city. It's only getting better. So the void of a grocery store in this particular location, I have an internationally, Lytle did research and said this is the best spot because of the residential people that live here. So who goes to grocery stores? People that live around grocery stores. Isn't that what we want? There are people in Center City, Center and Newberry can walk to the grocery store instead of jumping in the car. How many council members in there can walk to their grocery store where they live? Very few of us. I mean, I got to get in my car to go to a grocery store. So if you're environmentally conscious and you care about walk up health, it's healthy to walk to a grocery store. This could be the nicest grocery store in the city of Bethlehem because you can walk to it. We all become healthier. You walk and get your bags. It's a neighborhood grocery store, which none of us have anymore. When I was a kid, I used to walk across the street to the grocery store. We can't do that anymore. So I want to feel council's temperature about if they like the grocery store, sure, we could do an institutional overlay that's more specific to this site. We could do a lot of creative things, but if council doesn't like it at all, I'm not going to waste your time, my time, or do a comeback or anything. I'm okay with pulling it out and withdrawing and working on an institutional overlay or going in front of a zoning board. But I'd like council's temperature if they like it. If they like a grocery store and center in Dewberry, I think it's a perfect use. But I own the site, and I'm being, you know. I favor because I like it, but I'm only selling the tract to Lytles at a reasonable amount of money. I'm not making a lot of profit, but I still think it's a good use. I think it's a good location. If council says I like it, then we could get lost, no problem. I go home, and I don't have a problem with that because it's somebody buying a site from me. But I own a lot of real estate in the city of Bethlehem. I love the city. I go to church at First Presbyterian Church. So I am connected. My kids went to Marine Academy. We're Bethlehemites in a way. Even though I live in Bethlehem Township, I love this city. I spend more time in Bethlehem than I do in any city. We're opening. We bought the Loud Nursing Home. That's going to be a Bethlehem memory care facility. We own Bethlehem Manor. We're looking to do more things in the city. It's a great city. There's not much left. So we want to be an important contributor to the city of Bethlehem. So the facts are true, and Darlene said so. We do have a void in the market for a grocery store, and this is a Class A grocery store that's going to sell good products that they manufacture their own growth products and sell to the public. And they're in Spain, they're in Italy, they're all over the world. And they want to be in the city of Bethlehem? Wow, I think it's special. But I will, we can create an institutional overlay to allow for grocery stores in this use, and we can be creative. But I'd like to feel council temperature. Are they interested? Then we could pursue other avenues where, and Darlene's right, but it's not specific to how many square feet you got and all that. You're the decision makers in the city. The planning commission is sighed a little bit, and the mayor, no disrespect to the mayor. I like Mayor Don says, he does control the planning commission's decision. And a few of the neighbors that live in that area are friends with the mayor up Center Street. There's a lot of political pressure for the last 8-10 years on this project that they want to control what goes on this site. We're bringing something that the city needs, not what EDTA needs. That's the difference here. The city needs a grocery store. And Darlene is a master at what she does. She can make sure if you've got 20,000 or 30,000 square foot footprint, that's all you can do there with a text amendment or an overlay. And she's good at what she does. She's probably one of the best in Lehigh Valley. I deal with probably 15 communities, 15 different municipalities I do business in. Darlene is one of your smartest. And she does care about the rest of the institutional zone. I agree with her. Is Lehigh going to build a grocery store? It's like, are the school districts? Is Muhlenberg College? Is Moravian College or Lehigh going to build a grocery store? Not likely. So you have that protection if you do allow grocery stores in that institutional zone. It's not likely they're going to build it. Like, if they do, great. It's not a bad thing, a grocery store, because you're serving the citizens of Bethlehem. That's what this project's all about. So I'm open if council will like that, we could table it and come back or whatever you're recommending. Yeah, I'm open to whatever council likes.
Thank you for the information, Mr. Atiyah. I guess my follow-up question is, why not rezone just this property instead of the entire city?
Of course, I will do that if that's the favor of council would like that, because I got to come back for a reason. I hope that will. If you recommend that, I will absolutely do that. I will rezone the track if that's council's choice. Yes, this is an easier off the way, just amending a lot of grocery store that use. But if council recommends that we rezone this track to allow for a grocery store, of course I will. No question.
Well, I don't know that it is council's opinion or prerogative, there's a lot of moving parts to this through planning and zoning, as well as working with the administration and council. So it's not solely up to us, and nothing is going to be decided this evening. So I'm just trying to get a better feel for why not specifically look at this property, get it rezoned through the zoning hearing board, as opposed to rezoning such a large zoning district in the institutional zone, which affects the entire city. Because if we're affecting such a large amount of property when we're looking at one specific parcel, I think it might be fair to say that that's a little more of a change than we need specific to your individual project.
Sure, Councilman, if I could add, the zoning hearing board, in order to go in front of the zoning hearing board, you need to prove a hardship that I can't use it for anything else. And that's not, you could put a hospital here, you could put a medical office here, so I don't have a case, I don't have a legal case. I'd have to come in front of council again to rezone this to a general commercial zone or whatever zone allows for a grocery store. So I would be back in front of you guys no matter how you look at it. And Payne is going to say no matter what, and because of the political pressure that's out there. And so you're still in the council's decision on rezoning this to a general commercial, whatever allows for a grocery store. And I would love that. I would accept that. Because general commercial is better than institutional. It allows for a more compatible use because I'm not an institution, I'm not a government, I'm a private developer that I think the grocery store would do good. Center Street is a retail, it's a highway from that's 512, so rezoning it to a general commercial, whatever zone lasts for grocery stores, yes, I would love to do that, because then you'll see something very productive on this site if that happens, but it still would be council's decision to do that, not the zoning board, not the planning commission, they have no control, it's the powers to be. You know, council control the city, and the mayor is a small part of that. You're the head of the city, you know the vibes of the city. And I like it that council's not politically pushed by anybody right now. You got a good mix here, there's nobody. Nobody has a hook on you guys, and I don't like that. It's rare to see council that makes decisions on their own without the public, without the mayor controlling you guys. So that's why, you know, I enjoy talking with you guys. I know when I didn't go to the planning commission meeting, I said, I know you guys are going to vote me down. I said, I know you got political mayors against it. So I want to see what council thinks, because you're free thoughts. You understand the need for a grocery store in Center City Bethlehem, and I think it's a perfect location for a grocery store. This walk up, and you're surrounded by people on Linden Street, 191, that whole, my God, there's so many people that live there that can walk to the groceries area. Like, I think Olga knows. Olga was on the planning commission for years. She lived there, and now she's a council member, decision maker. She probably knows more about this. You know, Willie knows what's the guy. You guys, Willie lives close by here. He could probably walk there, get groceries if he chooses. You guys are all Bethlehemites, you know, from heart. So the decision's yours, not mine. I would love to come back and rezone it, but I don't think the effects of the institutional zone are going to harm anybody. But it's council decision. If you say we would support. If you rezone or bring it back, I'll be happy to do that. You just deny this application. At least I put my effort in. You deny the institutional, I'm okay with that. At least I try. Or if you recommend, you know, tabling it, and then we tabling it to change it around a little bit, I'm okay with that too. If you vote it down and just say no, you don't like it, and I'm not coming back at all. I'm okay with that too. It's if you don't like the grocery store, you just say no, 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 and I'll accept that also. So it's up to council.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Atiyah. That's the last question I have for you at this moment. I have one more for Ms. Heller, and then I'll turn to other members of council. Ms. Heller, if this is rezoned, the industrial zoning district specifically is changed so that grocery stores are allowed, and if somebody owns that property, be it a private developer or the school district or the hospital or one of the private colleges, if they decided to sell a portion or a part of that land, that is, am I correct in understanding that change would also go to that new owner as well?
Yes, it would. Yes.
Understood. Thank you. At this point, I'll turn to the rest to members of council if they have any questions or comments on the second public hearing. Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Thank you. I have some questions for Mr. Atiyah. The first question is, what year did you purchase this land? And when you purchased it, what did you have in mind? What were you thinking as far as developing the land?
It's great, Councilman. I bought this property almost 15 years ago, and it was actually doing last perception. I was planning to put a personal care home in here called Bethlehem Inn. I was going to build a big four-story building. I went through the planning process, and I got it all approved. And I'm getting ready to build this beautiful building. It wasn't going to be my flagship building for all our manors. I guess it's going to be a wow building for my location. And then Moravian Village, the plans went on, they went to Steffo Boulevard and got one approved through a zoning variance. Then John Agrail goes and builds one up the street. And then the recession hit. So my research analyst said, wait a second, we're not going to lend you money to build there. There's too many personal care beds going within 3 to 4 miles. So the Moravian Village approval actually knocked me out of getting financing in Joe DeGrayo, and then the Great Recession, the last recession, bam, knocked us out. So now I'm stuck with the property. And I had a drug treatment center, I had a psych hospital, and on and on. I think you know the history on there, but I'm not a psych hospital operator. I had a client interest. It's same when I'm not a grocery store guy, but I am a personal care provider. We're the biggest provider in Lehigh Valley of personal care beds. And I like the city of Bethlehem. Even at this time, this site is not suitable for personal care because Hanover Township, up near Wegmans, they have independent living, assisted living. Kirkland Village is built with another building. It's oversaturated with beds within 5 miles. I can't get financing to build personal care on this site right now because, you know, all my competitors moved in all around me, and it's just, I lost that weight, and there's no reason for me to do that. So I'm trying to find a good use. I think it's the best corner in the whole city of Bethlehem. It's a great corner. So I am looking for something that's going to be good for the city and good for me.
Okay. Just two other questions. Thank you. If this LIDO does not go through, do you have any other options that are within the institutional zoning uses?
I not at this time, no. You might talk to the hospitals. They're all building out at Martin Towers. They're not. I don't know why, an urgent care would be a good use on this site. It's a good spot, you know, but it's permitted by right. But I reached out to the urgent care guys. There's one on Airport Road, and then all the hospitals now have urgent cares. The institutional use here, the medical, is like St. Luke's and Lehigh Valley have everything going on in Shannersville, you know? And then they got Anderson Campus, and then you got Center City up in the south side where St. Luke's is at. So it's very unlikely anything is going to happen in here that's medical in nature from any of the hospitals. I've been pursuing both of them.
My final question is, you still have the sign on the property saying hospital coming soon. Is that there for any purpose? Are you still considering a hospital on that site? And if not, why is the sign still there? And the reason I ask that is because I've had several constituents state to me that it is not aesthetically appealing to be going past that site and see that sign all the time. They think it really is a detriment to the city. And I'm just, again, restating what the constituents have said to me.
I respect that. I still have a court case in the appellate court for the psych hospital, and there is somebody has a deposit on that, and that appeal is pending right now. The zoning turned it down. The local judge turned it down. It's in the appellate court process right now. If the appellate court reverses the commonwealth your local judge, then that psych hospital operator has a deposit on the site. There will be a psych hospital there if we win the case. So, but if I sell it to a Lidl's or something, then I tell that buyer it's not available anymore. So this is a good option. Can we win any appeal process? There's a 50% chance we might win during the appeal process, but there's a 50% chance we may lose. So that's still the appeal process. So the site, they're temporary constructing the signs for the psych hospital. That's an intent of a potential client of mine. I'm not building it and run psych hospitals.
Okay, and that's understood. But if it's a 50% chance that it may or may not happen, is there any reason why you just can't take the sign down for the interim? Especially since we have constituents within the city that, you know, feel that it really is a detriment to the city.
I don't think it's a detriment to the city. I don't think there's nothing wrong with psych hospitals. They save people's lives. My mom and my brother went
I'm a mental health counselor, so I certainly agree with you, and I'm not stating anything negative about psych hospitals. I'm just stating that if we're not certain that a hospital is coming soon, and it's been there for years now, I guess I just question why the sign is still there, and if you cannot consider just taking it down in the interim until, you know, we know what's happening with that property.
I understand. It's my right as a land developer to keep those signs up, and I am trying to attract other psych hospital buyers. I had Katie up. There's six or seven. I had a Katie who was going to buy this site from me till neighbors and mayor's friends all scared. Okay, I had a Katie looking if they're ready to buy this site from me. I had three other nationally recognized site hospital groups ready to buy it. So I do have a deposit, and I do have a site group interested in buying this. And I'm not going to mention who they are so they're not scared away by the neighbors and then the political defeat. So the sign. I don't want to offend neighbors. I think most of the people that are offended are more what you call discriminatory towards a disabled class. And unlike it, there's nothing wrong with a psych hospital. Psych hospitals save people's lives. So the ones that are offended by that psych hospital sign are more discriminatory than they are worried about psych hospitals save people's lives. So those constituents that are worried about it are probably discriminatory in nature. So maybe you should ask them what their intent are and why don't they like that sign there. Then talk to the developer that's trying to save people's lives. I own treatment centers. I own DOI centers. I have outpatient clinics I own. We save people's lives what I do. And I'm my tenants that operate. So for your constituents are probably, I will guarantee you, discriminatory in nature, even in their question. That's all I have.
Well, thank you. And again, I agree 100%. Having been in the DNA mental health field for 40 years, I know the lives that they do save. And I can attest that the constituents that have spoken to me are not discriminatory in any way because I've known them for many years. If anything, they're more very active in the arts and cultural areas within the city. And I think they're just looking at it really from an aesthetic standpoint that they'd like to just see the rolling grass in those fields and not billboards that for something that doesn't exist at this point. But thank you so much for your time.
Well, I respect the councilwoman. That's what I have one last thing. That particular nature of the artistic in that neighborhood has been discriminatory on this process from when I was doing the psych hospital from day one. So until you have somebody in your family affected with mental health and mental illness, you realize that psych hospital save people's life and they change their mode. So I would ask them, what's wrong with a psych hospital? That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Clem?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just a couple brief questions. Mr. Attia, looking at, I guess it would be Exhibit B here, where we have the diagram where it breaks up parcel A and parcel B. Yeah, just a couple questions about Lidl in general. How many stores do they currently operate in the Lehigh Valley?
You know, they have one, councilman, on the Freemansburg Avenue. It's a large one, Freemansburg and 25th Street. It's a beautiful store. And they're working on one, maybe in Whitehall. But the Palmer Township store is huge. I think it's like 40 or 50,000 square feet, but they're starting to build mini Lidl's. And if you Google and research them, they're class A operators. They're recognized, you know, being in the higher end communities.
Do you know if one?
There's one in Palmer Township, which is actually Freemansburg Avenue and 25th Street, and they want to build one in City of Bethlehem. They're going to build a third either Whitehall or South Whitehall that they'll build out. So they'll have three in Lehigh Valley is what their goal is.
Do you know, sir, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, do you know if the Lidl currently in Palmer Township sells alcohol? Do they sell beer or wine?
That's a good question, Councilman. I don't know that at all. Leo's can you search? We can probably Google and search in 2 seconds. I got my daughter, she just graduated from Boston College, she can search that up. When she was in Spain, she went to Lidl, she said, Dad, that's a great store. She had school there, but...
Well, and, I don't expect you to be representing Lidl here today, so I was just curious if you knew the answer. Going back to the diagram that you presented, though, so parcel A, the footprint for the grocery store, looks like it's about 31,000 square feet. Can you... in terms of helping me visualize what 31,000 square feet looks like, is that comparable to an Aldi, like on Eastern Avenue? Is that comparable to the Giant on Eastern Avenue? What would be something to help me visualize what 31,000 square feet looks like?
That's a good question, Council. I think the store that was the Bottom Dollar on Stafford that closed down by Wawa, I think
yes,
that's
sir.
A comparable. Lots of comparable size of what I think this is going to be. The grocery store, it's set back, they have glass fronts, they look beautiful, I think a real big store like a Giant, right? It's not that, that's Giants, I think, are like 80 to 100,000 square feet. They're huge. it's more the size of your dollar that was built on stuff going to close down.
And then, just again, looking at the diagram, so parcel A would be the grocery store. Parcel B, do you have any early intentions with that parcel that you care about?
I do. I would like to pursue a Starbucks or a Chick-fil-A. They're great franchises, and they're needed in the city. And there's one Chick-fil-A up off 248. You got to wait on them to get there. And then there's a Chick-fil-A in Whitehall that's packed. I'm looking for two good special franchises to go there. It's either Starbucks drive-thru or a Chick-fil-A, or even a little mini medical office, like a little doctor's office that serves
something.
And it's the only wine. My daughter just serves Lidl. She thinks they just serve
wine and beer. Yeah.
Wine and beer and
yeah, just like wine
and beer. Yeah, wine and beer, like a Wegmans does.
Or same with Giant.
Like a Giant does.
Understood. Thank you. And then does the current zoning, not to turn everything into the parcel B here, but does the current zoning allow, without me having to go through here, do you know, does the current zoning allow for potentially like a Chick-fil-A or a Starbucks?
Not at all. It's the same. We would come back to council and ask for help. But that's a good thing about council control is we come back. A medical office is a permitted use. An urgent care next door would work. Those are all permitted by right. But yeah, if I catch a Starbucks or a great franchise, I'm coming back to your zoning board then or back to council and say, hey, we got a good one here. You know, this is worth seeking some sort of relief. But you can control what goes on right now with the grocery store. I think it's something, and the zoning board, because you probably have three or four neighbors. Okay, when I first tried to put a site cost on there, there was a whole neighbor showed up. Last time we went to put apartments in there, 10 or 12 showed up. And Bethanko was against it. And I think you're probably going to have a couple people oppose the grocery store. Greg Zaborski, in particular, he lives down the street, and he's the chair of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. He's the most outspoken of everything I do here. I think if I put a single family home in there, he'd be upset. So no matter what goes on here, he's upset, and he's the one that has the mayor's ear. So other franchises that come on this site that could be in the best location in Bethlehem, I'd have to come back to council or zoning board or somebody for relief to get that in there. I'd have to get relief, so I can't just put in a Dunkin' Donuts or something crazy because it's not permitted.
If this would go through as presented, where did this 31,000 square foot number for the Lidl come from? Is that something that's
I met with them, they laid it out, they got corporate approval to buy this site. That's the exact footprint they want, and I would do the site work for them, and they would build the building itself. So yeah, that 31,000 is exactly what they want. They got board approval to buy this location if it's approved, and they would build there. We already agreed on a price, so they would build it if it's approved, and I would love for you guys to approve it, but that is their particular footprint.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. T. Those are all the questions I have for you. Quick question, Ms. Heller. We've heard a couple times a reference to the neighbors. When this went before the Planning Commission, was there any feedback to your recollection in the positive or negative as it related to this project?
The neighbors have been represented by an attorney. They were opposed. One of the things that they did address traffic, grocery store, traffic, then most of the others. So that was, I think,
understood. Thank you, Ms. Heller. And then just the last question I had, Ms. Heller, this would be for you or us as a council, because I'm not sure. If we move forward with voting on this, when would we want, what agenda would this be on? The next council meeting?
Usually the that's how they're scheduled. You would have a first reading and a second reading immediately following this. Actually, that's already been advertised. Usually they advertise the meetings all the same time. City clerk or probably Adam could answer that miraculously, but typically the meetings follow consecutively.
First reading is scheduled for September 15th.
Understood. Thank you, Ms. Heller, for that. Those are the only questions that I had. I would say early on, I think that adding this text amendment, completely allowing grocery stores to, as a permitted use to this zoning district, I think is a little bit too much, regardless of the merits of for or against the project. That's just kind of where I'm at now, but you know, we have a couple more weeks to go here. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clone. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Seeing none, at this point, we will accept public comment from members of the public. This will be an opportunity for members of the public to call in to make comment, on the public hearing number two, which is the rezoning of the institutional zoning district at Center in Dewberry. Before I open up the line, there are two people who reached out this evening who I'll make contact to first, and then we'll open up the phone line. The first is Lynn Rothman, so I'll be giving her a call now.
Hello?
Good evening, Ms. Rothman. It's Bethlehem City Council.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. If you could please give your name and address and your comments to council regarding the proposed zoning ordinance text amendment.
My name is Lynn Rothman, 870 Wofford Lane in Bethlehem. And I'm speaking not in favor of the proposed zoning amendment for some of the following reasons. Firstly, regarding the justification that people would walk or bike to the grocery store, there are no sidewalks north of the site on Center Street. And for clientele from biking or walking distance on Illex Mill, which is across the street from the Illex Mill, and bordering the site, you have Center Street and the high school. And even if there were better bike and pedestrian access, the amount of groceries one can carry on foot, even with a car, or by bike, is very limited and is weather permitting. It also requires additional time and a certain level of physical fitness. So I think people often drive to the grocery store on the way to or from somewhere, and I live fairly near the parking lot at Azar's, another local grocery store is always full, just as it is at these chain supermarkets. So I'm sure Lidl wouldn't locate there if they'd be successful, and they likely will be successful. However, near that location, we have a soon-to-be full-service grocery store founded by the Bethlehem Food Co-op near downtown. That's only 1.4 miles from this site. You have the West Market at Westgate Mall, which is 1.7 miles away, 8 times is 2 miles away, Valley Farm Market is 2.3 miles away, Aldi's is 2.5 miles, there's a Giant on Eastern Avenue that's 2.4 miles, a Giant on Union Boulevard is 3 miles, a Giant on Route 191 is 3.3 miles, and then down the street we have Wegmans that's 2.4 miles away, and Weiss Market is 2.6 miles away. And some of these stores help support and anchor existing commercial centers, which rely on them. And I believe that many of the surrounding residences that the proposed store would draw from are equally close to the 10 stores that I just listed. And importantly, the proposed grocery store would not be serving the public that's stated in the definition of the institutional zone, and even more importantly, does not fit with the current residential character of the neighborhood. So I don't believe that the need for another food store within a 3 mile radius is compelling enough to warrant a zoning change or compelling enough to cause increased traffic and congestion on Center Street. So But I thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Rothman. The next person I'll be calling is Brian Pinella.
Hello, this is Brian.
Good evening, Brian. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Well, if you could please give your name and address for the record and then your comments on the proposed zoning ordinance text amendment.
Absolutely. My name is Brian Pinnell. I'm an attorney with Gusuzian and Associates located at 2940 William Penn Highway in Eastern Pennsylvania, 18045. But our office was retained by two Bethlehem residents, one Gregory Zabrowski, located at 23 Dewberry Avenue, Bethlehem, PA, 18017, and Alexander Schwarz, 1949 Main Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18017. I just want to say first that we were at the initial Planning Commission meeting to voice opposition to this proposed modification and change to the ordinance citywide, and just wish to briefly reiterate our client's position on this as well. First and foremost, just noting again that the property has been for other uses, and one of those uses, the psychiatric hospital, is still being advertised on the property. It's not as if this property is completely unusable as is, this property and this applicant has received uses in the past. Along with that, as the original caller said, there are other places local and nearby that do provide the exact same service. We would ask that great consideration be given to the initial memorandum that was prepared and submitted by Beverly Heller, and we give great consideration to the findings of the Planning Commission. And with that, I say thank you very much for your time and thank you for your consideration in this matter.
Thank you for your comments. Now council will accept public comment at 610-997-7963. On the proposed zoning ordinance text amendment allowing grocery store use in institutional zoning. This will be the only opportunity this evening for the public hearing, which is public hearing number 2 on the proposed zoning ordinance text amendment allowing grocery store use in institutional zoning. After this, we will move to public comment on other topics. And just to clarify, council will not be taking action on this agenda item this evening. We do have a scheduled meeting, first reading that is, at the September 15th council meeting. Seeing no comments, the requested zoning text amendment ordinance will be placed on the September 15th, 2020 council agenda for first reading. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atia.
Thank you, council.
Moving on with the rest of our city council agenda this evening, seeking approval of the minutes for July 21st, 2020. If there are no comments from members of council, the minutes will stand approved. Moving to public comment. First, on any subject not being voted on this evening, we have one name previously signed up. That's Arthur Caratella. I'll call him at this time. Good evening, Mr. Caratolo. This is Beth from City Council.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. If you could please give your name, address for the record, and give your comments to council. And I would also ask if you could please try to keep within our five-minute time limit for public comment.
I'll try to do that, okay. My name's Arthur Caratolo, 813 Blocker Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Talking about the BPA. It's extremely hard to find legal parking spaces around where I live on the south side of Bethlehem, and it's almost impossible to find one after midnight to 5 a.m. The BPA refuses to do anything to rectify this problem. Why? It's obvious to us city resident taxpayers who are paying for their services. This way, they can get fat off of us. Personally, I think that it's time to trim the fat. I move for an abrogation of the BPA to be placed as a topic to be voted on by the residents of Bethlehem. Throughout the years, I suggested to the BPA many ideas that have been thrown aside, like one, limit street parking permits to one car to a family. If two or more members in a family need two or more cars for work, they could afford to pay for parking of their extra vehicles or vehicles to park in a lot or garage of their choice. Two, more parking decks need to be built. The BPA and the city will prosper greatly for this and strongly help the parking situation. I offered to provide talented people for fundraisers to help cover the cost. Three, if people wish to use their yard to park for their vehicles, help them make that happen rather than to discourage them. It will not bring money to the BPA, but it would help in the long run and show that they care about the parking situation. It will leave more legal parking spaces on the streets. It would be a step in the direction of placing our city as a good example to other cities throughout the state and the U.S. Four, when vehicles are ticketed or booted, give the perpetrators 24 hours to move the vehicle or address the matter. If they don't contact the BPA within 24 hours, tow the vehicle at the expense of the owner and charge them storage for each day that is impounded. That will make more money to the city and the BPA. To keep booted vehicles on the streets to take up legal parking is unfair to the residents. It's so wrong to push city resident taxpayers to pay for the mistakes of others. We pay each year for parking in our zones. Then we're forced to park illegally and pay more. Well, if you don't have a product, they give you an alternative product. The alternative product would be at least two times out of the year that we have that we are exempt from having to pay a fine for parking into a certain zone. The BPA actually gets magistrates and judges to go along with their unfair and insensible actions. If we try to fight a $15 ticket, we have to spend our time and money to go to the hearing that we have slim to no chance to win without a good attorney. Plus, when we lose, we have to pay court costs and filing fees plus other costs that could total up to $200 or more to make it fair. How about if we win, and that's a very big if, the BPA pays for our attorney fees and costs, especially if we lose a work day. For years, the BPA has had a parking block extending from my property to their lot to prevent me or any visitors from parking on my property. If I were permitted to park there by the almighty BPA, it would free up one or two legal spaces on the streets. Five, I also offered to give the BPA some of my land to be used for extra parking spaces. What is a real extortion trap is the ticketing of cars parked in certain areas on certain days for street cleaning. I can't understand why does Fifth Street have to be cleaned by the city, but Hayes Street, which is an emergency route, exempt from being professionally cleaned. All of us have to clean our own streets, but individuals on certain streets get favors from the city to have their streets and gutters cleaned. Maybe we should take our tax money and buy them bidets. You know those things that shoot water up to clean. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. But the rusty owners of the properties in those areas are paying a few hundreds to a few thousand dollars each year to the city for the service. They should clean their own sidewalks and gutters like most of us do. Personally, I and many others feel that the BPA doesn't truly care about getting the streets clean. We honestly feel that it's a scam made legal by the individuals controlling our city to get money from the hardworking and struggling citizens as easy as they can for doing the least amount of work that they can. A few months ago, around midnight, I couldn't find a legal space. I drove around for well over 20 minutes to half an hour, tired with aches and pains from physical problems that I've had since 1968, from when I served in the Army for my country. I had to park in one of those no parking street cleaning spots. I planned to move it before 8 a.m., but moved a little slower that morning because of my problems. When I got there, there was a ticket on my windshield. My telephone number is in large white professional print, clearly viewed on each side of my van. Many people in the past called me when they wanted me to move. PPL, UGI, the water department, local residents, plus others. I had this vehicle with my phone number on each side for well over 10 years. Many times I paid the BPA for tickets to contribute to their paychecks for this reason. Never once did they call me to ask me to move my vehicle. You would think that if they really wanted to have the streets cleaned, they would have called. Things like this don't make our Christmas city of Bethlehem look good. It leads many of us to believe that the BPA just wants money. All that they can get, and as easy as they can get it, for the people who have too many bigger problems than to fight City Hall in a courtroom battle that is a lose-lose situation. The amazing thing is that our city of Bethlehem, also called the Christmas City, condones their unfair and insensible actions. We continue to let this plus other corrupt actions rule our city that was named after the city that our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, was born. We above all cities have to be an example to all cities to make a greater USA. If we don't correct everything that needs correcting, we should consider changing the name because God is not happy with us. We're not being an example to others, which is what we're supposed to be. If we don't believe in God and the Bible, let's stop pretending that we do. Let's stop lying to ourselves and others, acting like we are all holier than thou. Let's stop being posers of Christians and change the name of Bethlehem to Abe City in honor of Abe Lincoln, or in combination of Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. Let's make it one big tri-city area, one big city, and go for the gusto and make more money and bow to our God of gold. I was looking forward to taking this ticket to the court, not just for myself, but mostly for all the hardworking people of the city, mostly for the handicapped and the elderly, and above all, for those like me who placed their life in harm's way for our country for way less than $20,000 a year, so that this country could continue to be the God-trusting and God-fearing country that our forefathers intended it to be. I'm an 80% disabled American veteran who continues to work very hard to try, and I was eligible for VA benefits since 1968, but I didn't want to take money from my country. I just accepted taking VA benefits since from June of 2015. Because of my physical problems, I respectfully called the district court, and I asked for a change of venue. The lady told me to send in my request and fax it in. I faxed it from Senator Lisa Buscola's office. Later, I called the lady. She said that it went through. She told me that with the pandemic, it will be a while until I hear anything. With the power of the internet, people should not have to step foot in a courtroom. They should be given the option to have their case heard online or have their letter viewed by the judge to be ruled upon replacement of a physical court here, especially with the pandemic going on. This past Saturday, I got an arrest warrant for the same district court stating that if I didn't cough up 194 hours before the 14th of September, I will be paying additional costs, custody, and possible incarceration. I'd like to add that this is just for one 15-hour ticket. I was waiting patiently for the notice for my day in court to either get this resolved or go further like I'm doing with some other matters. Instead, I get this. In 1833, debtor's prison was abolished in the United States. Debtor's prison imposed devastating human costs. Ultimately, debtor's prisons are not only unfair and insensible, they are also illegal. Imprisoning someone for court imposed fines or fees violations, fee violates It, the 14th Amendment promises of due process and equal protection under the law. Until that time, failure to pay what you were found to owe could and did land you in jail. And debtors' prisons added a nice touch. Not only were you forced to pay your debt, but you were also forced to pay additional fees, costs, and fines.
Mr. Caratola, Mr. Caratola, you're 5 minutes over your 5 minute limit.
Maybe one day someone of authority will start sending out yellowish green slips stating you're fired to certain elected officials who are sitting back and doing nothing but letting martial law take shape in our country. I'm Artie Caratola, 813 Law for Speed. Thank you very much. My back door is always open and unlocked. Thank you.
At this point, council will accept public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. The number to do that is 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make comment to council on any subject not on tonight's agenda, please call in at 610-997-7963. You have three names who have previously contacted the clerk's office to make comment to council on a subject that is on tonight's agenda. And I'll get to them shortly. Hello, Bethlehem City Council. Good evening, Mr. Gallagher.
President Walters, Ed Gallagher.
Mr. Gallagher, if you could mute your computer in the background, please.
Sister Technology here, now set up to talk to you. President Walters, thank you. President Waldron, I'm really excited about the kind of two major issues that have been before us in the past couple of weeks, the discussion of the police and the discussion of the community engagement initiative. But I'm on the outside. I have a couple of questions tonight.
Okay, Mr. Gallagher, we can just pause there for a moment. We're having a little bit of trouble with your audio cutting in and out, so I'm not sure if there's anything on your end that you could do to help us hear you a little bit better, whether that's remove if you're on speakerphone on your end or anything else you think that might be helpful.
Sorry about that. Any better now?
That sounds better. Thank you.
Thank you. Very sorry. So as I was saying, I'm very excited about the two big issues that I think that have been in front of you guys for the past 2 or 3 months, the discussion of the police and the discussion of the community initiative. But I have questions about them. And way back at the beginning, the resolution that was passed on July 7th, it was resolved that the mayor would be, and his administration would be, urged to collaborate with the police department to create a public space and so forth. And that the community engagement initiative would include, reading from the resolution, and or interface with any individuals or entities that the mayor and his administration think appropriate. Seems to me like the ball was passed to the mayor. But the mayor has not been present in discussions of this. At a couple of meetings, it seems like members of council are talking about and leading this. So I don't understand from the beginning. Who's in charge of the discussion of the police and the formation of the engagement initiative. I thought it would be fair reading the resolution. So we do have the community advisory board, and that sounds a bit like a community engagement initiative. My question is, how does that relate to engagement initiatives? Who is in charge there? What's going on there? I think it was the first meeting, and it indicates the mayor is presiding, but maybe trying to get minutes of the meeting to see what was happening. I was told that it's not the mayor's committee, that it's an NACP committee. And kind of universally, people have told me recently that Mrs. Lee is wondering why the mayor doesn't call a meeting. That's all secondhand, so I'm not sure about that. So my question is, who's in charge of that community advisory board? What's going on there? How does it relate to the community engagement and initiative? And Mrs. Lee, in the morning call on and saying she has not heard many complaints about the police department. The direct quote is, over here in Bethlehem, we have a pretty good relationship with the officers. I think our police are very mindful of what they do. So it sounds like we have a community advisory board with the NAACP to see that there's a problem. So I'm very confused about why we have that. The African American community is about 7% of the town, and the Latino community is 29%. Why do we have a community advisory board? NAACP doesn't seem to think that there is a problem to be talked about, but we don't have one with the Latino Hispanic community. So let's move to the police department. Again, I would ask who's in charge and what's the plan of what will come from the public safety meeting on August 11th. A very important issue, and the bar keeps getting higher. It started with George Floyd, and since then we've had the Jacob Blake and the athletes weighing in and engaging in the controversy. And the budget season is getting closer. I remember early meetings that there was some talk about trying to move things along, so if there were to be any changes for the budget, that discussion would have appropriate space. So we had a 6-hour meeting on August 11th. We had 27 callers. We had discussion. We had a lapse in the technology. We had the chair of public safety adroitly filling in empty space. But the meeting at the end was left with simply, we'll be discussing this, and when we decide something, we'll get back to you. That struck me as very, very, very indefinite plan for a report back to people. What I expected to hear at the August 18th meeting was this discussion of what you guys heard. You listen to 6 hours, or you listen to 2 or 3 hours of commentary from 27 people. What did you hear? What would you feed back to us? What were your thoughts about all of that? But there was no discussion at all August 18th of that 6-hour meeting, except a very odd mention at the end. By one councilman to another about the question of just what was that all about, I said. The only thing I could think of was that this was not a good sign of unity on council. The one question was about the funding of the police, and it reminds me that two people on council, have already said that they would not vote for defunding the police. and as far as I can tell, have said that in very definite terms. It seems like before the discussion has happened, two council have shown off the possibility of one of the things that might be on the agenda for change. I would hope that those council members, if they are definite in that feeling at the moment that they would never vote for defunding the police, that they would explain their knowledge of various plans of defunding the police and the reasons why they do not feel that they apply to Bethlehem. To shut off that discussion at this moment seems to go against the whole thing of the community engagement initiative. We're trying to get people to talk about things. What if people say defunding the police might be a good idea? And lastly, the community engagement initiative, awfully excited about that. I'd like to hear more about that. We've had two meetings in which the rationale has been described in detail. But what's the next step? Where are the next steps for the discussion of the police? Where are the next steps for the discussion of the community engagement initiative? Thanks so much, Ken. Hang in there.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Gallagher. As you know, under new business this evening, Mr. Reynolds planned on to speaking a little bit about the community engagement initiative, so if you're able to stay tuned for that, I'm sure you'll get an update. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance not on tonight's agenda? I was just about to transition into second public comment. We have three names on that list of speakers who would like to comment on an agenda item this evening. We'll start with Amy Zanelli.
Hello?
Good evening, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, thank you so much.
Hello, you can please give your name and address for the record and give your comments to council.
Absolutely. Amy Zanelli, 802 Dobson Street, Fountain Hill. I'm also Madam Chair of the Lehigh County Board of Commissioners. I am calling in tonight to provide the requested input on the wage equality bill. And I will say first that legislation for the fair and equal treatment of women is long overdue. Not just in Bethlehem, but in all of our cities, and thusly, and I'm sure not surprisingly, has my full support. However, I have been made aware of some notably valid concerns of Councilwomen Van Wert and Negron about enforcement through your local Human Rights Commission, and that is actually the reason for my call this evening. Bethlehem would not be alone in their concern, but a case resulting from such legislation could become too much for municipalities to handle on their own. But I don't feel that that in and of itself should deter us from passing good law now or ever. I do feel it is relevant to inform you all that I have been in the process of drafting legislation that will establish a countywide human rights commission for precisely concerns akin to these. And as so often happens, great minds think alike, and Northampton, my colleagues, are also trying to establish the same. And I'm hoping that the knowledge that both Lehigh and Northampton counties, which share the beautiful Bethlehem, are both working on getting their own countywide boards up and running, could ease the trepidation of your local commission. With the year grace period included in this bill, it would be, in my opinion, unlikely a case would ever have to come in front of your local HRC, and it is my hope and desire that both counties will have their own commissions well before that time. I am sure, with continued conversation, that you can all come to a peaceful resolution of this matter, and I would simply ask to be kept abreast of any developments, and I wish you all peace and good luck in getting there. Thank you all for your time and consideration. That's really all I have tonight.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Sinelli.
Thank you.
Next name on our list is Carla Young. Good evening, this is Beth from City Council.
Oh, good evening. Do you want me to turn off my volume on the meeting now?
Yes, please.
Okay. I am Carla Young, and I live at 3970 Wellington Drive, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I am technically in the township, but this is such an important issue and to me personally and near and dear to my heart. I am now 60 years old, but when I was young and in college and idealistic at Penn State University and director of the Department of Women's Services, we organized, we campaigned, we marched for pay equity. I still have my 69 cent pin, my ERA pin. I was looking, you know, had more of my life ahead of me than behind me at that time. Was looking into the future, and now I'm 60 and headed down the road to retirement, and I cannot believe that this is still an issue that we cannot come together and support, that we cannot wrap ourselves around, and that we cannot, you know, as a community, come together to say, yes, wage equity is important. We are all sons and daughters of mothers. It seems to me, but I'm not certain of the statistic, but Bethlehem, I think, is about 20% Hispanic, and Hispanic women are paid even less than white women. Black women paid less. We are already being paid less than men and have been. It's the beginning of commerce. So I'm in strong support of the wage equity ordinance tonight. Not sure why we are even needing to debate it. And if I could just ask a question in addition to the statement, do we have support of this? Forgive me for not being able to know this answer, but do we have support with the Bethlehem City Council on this issue, on wage equity? Or is it something that is, you know, in conflict, something that we're divided on, like the country is right now?
Council has not taken up the topic or had conversation about it.
Okay, so I guess I stand for every woman in my life, and in my circle, and in my sphere of influence. I'm not sure why in 2020 we would need to debate it and why we would be met with resistance, but I would very much like to voice my concern as a member of this community, and very much like to support the wage equity ordinance. It would be, I think, a very honorable thing for the City Council to do, to pass this and to support wage equity in 2020 America.
Thank you for your comments.
I thank you for your consideration, and I would like to thank you in advance, and maybe this is my prayer flying up to heaven, as Maya Angelou says, but I would like to thank you in advance for support of pay equity for women.
Good evening. Good evening.
Thank you for calling me.
The next speaker will be Celeste.
Hello?
Good evening, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Oh, good evening, thank you.
Hello, if you could please give your name and address for the record and give your comments to Council.
Yes, my name is Celeste D, and I live at 647 West Union Street in Whitehall, Pennsylvania. And while I don't live in Bethlehem, I do work in Bethlehem and have strong connections there and care about the city. And this is an important issue for everyone, so I wanted to weigh in. So I'm calling tonight because I actually had the honor of weighing in on this ordinance early on, bringing my personal experience in the private sector, especially as it pertains to wage inequality. I personally spent 20 years in various levels of corporate America, including C-suite positions on Fifth Avenue, who always paid less than my male counterparts. And it was always unacceptable, but unfortunately, that was the way it was. We didn't have the Lilly Ledbetter Act and the current ordinances in places like New York and Philly and about 20 other states and numerous cities that ban employers from, doing things like asking for an applicant's prior salary to consider it in a potential job offer. That they just weren't here a decade ago. Every single position I've ever had in corporate America, I was asked my prior salary, and which I always thought was inappropriate, and I think everyone here right now should agree that it is. Many other cities and states have taken action to address this. None have been overburdened with enforcement. It's that simple. They put this out, they educate the public, and by and large, most employers are responsible employers and they follow the law within pertaining to these things. You know, places far less progressive than the city of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, like the state of Alabama, have figured this out. It's disappointing to me, honestly, to see that in all this time, it hasn't moved forward at all in Bethlehem to discuss amendments or solutions to concerns. Many other municipalities, again, have employment discrimination ordinances to protect various discrimination. I really don't understand why this is different. SHRM, which is a nationwide Society of Human Resource Management, they've been doing a great job educating HR professionals on this very issue because more and more states and cities are putting in these protections for job applicants. They've been, there hasn't been a huge problem, and people so far, again, have not been overburdening municipalities. As a small business owner myself, I can tell you I would never ask that question, and I never have. I believe that we as a community, as a government, and as responsible employers, we need to empower the people who work for us and pay them their work. And I think that the city council needs to help further this. I mean, in the words of one of my heroes, the esteemed Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I ask no favor for my staff. All I ask of our brethren is that they take their feet off our necks. Therefore, I am asking the members of City Council to stop putting up roadblocks to having these conversations with each other, sit down at the table as a unit and say, this is something that we want to fix and we want to make better for those who live and work and visit in the city of Bethlehem. So I really appreciate your time, and I really hope that council heeds my words and the words of others and comes to the table together to make something work, because it's important. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments. At this point, council will accept any callers at 610-997-7963. Anyone who hasn't been able to make comment this evening can do so at this time on any subject not being voted on, as well as anything that's listed on tonight's agenda. This will be the last opportunity to make comment to council this evening at 610-997-7963. Thank you. Seeing no additional public comment, council will continue with its agenda this evening. Is there any old business for members of council? Moving to communications, communication 6C.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Winter Spring LLC, DBA Archie Wild, for work related to the Northside 2027 tree beautification project. The term of the contract runs 12 months from the notice to proceed. The cost is $110,631, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda, communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Burke Construction LLC for work related to the Bethlehem Golf Course cart paths. The term of the contract is 90 days from the notice to proceed. The cost is $155,972.50. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda, communication 6E.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, requesting that City Council schedule a committee meeting to discuss a proposed zoning ordinance text amendment to create provisions for student housing and a student housing overlay district, along with dimensional amendments in the RT and RG zoning districts. At their August 13, 2020 meeting, the City Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend that City Council support the proposed zoning ordinance amendment and further recommended three changes as detailed in the memo.
This will be referred to the Community Development Committee. Reports, I have no reports this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Administrative Order Number 25, I hereby appoint Mark Jobs, 428 High Street, Bethlehem, to the Bethlehem Parking Authority. This appointment is to fill a position held by Joseph Hoffmeyer, whose term expired July 2020. This appointment is effective through July 2025.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion?
Mr. Waldron, I'm sorry.
We'll get it after. I'm sure maybe after 3 years we'll get the name right. Your mark is forever, Mr. Reynolds. Yes, Mr. Callender.
Thank you. First off, I want to before I make any comments on Mr. Jobs, I want to thank Mr. Hoffmeyer, the outgoing chairman of the Bethlehem Parking Authority. He served 20 years of service to the BPA. Again, that job is a volunteer job. There's no payment. I don't know if anybody in the state of Pennsylvania knows as much about parking as Mr. Hoffmeyer. He really put all his energy into it, went to all the sites, inspected all the sites on a regular basis, knew the ins and outs of the whole parking authority. And he also had a great financial background also, which was very valuable to the parking authority over the years. He served four mayors, Mayor Cunningham, Mayor DeGrasso, Mayor Callahan, and now Mr. Mayor Donchess. And in that term, since he took over the Bethlehem Parking Authority, three new garages were built at the direction of the mayors. In times of financial trouble, the Bethlehem Parking Authority came up with $500,000 to our city fund, which we still take a good chunk of. There's been a $2 million increase in our balance. After the next month's service debt is paid off, we will have $2 million still in the bank after the service debt is paid off. There's been $3 million in increases in the balance sheet. And they also gave $288,000 to the pension fund to the city, and also renovations to the commons deck in back of the brew works. Some of the other things that were brought on under Mr. Hoffmeyer's term was the digital meters, the phone apps, and I think the really big thing was the digital meters. That was a big fight for a long time, where it was all cash and coin business. And I think bringing in Mr. Hoffmeyer and under his direction, it's become the money flow has become much more accountable in the Bethlehem Parking Authority. And I think that's where a lot of the revenue came. And outside of the, a couple of the increases, but I just wanted to thank Mr. Hoffmeyer for all his time and service to the Bethlehem Parking Authority. And I think it's really a mistake that he is no longer with us. I think he's a very valuable asset to the city and the Bethlehem Parking Authority. And again, I don't think anybody knows more about parking in the state of Pennsylvania than Mr. Hoffmeyer. With that being said, I welcome Mr. Jobes. I will be voting for him tonight. I've known Mark a really long time. He's born and raised in Bethlehem, and he's also has a great financial background, which is very important to me. He's been a Lafayette Ambassador Bank for a number of years, and he has a new job now, and I've done multiple mortgages with him and loans, and I know him to be very efficient and detail-oriented, so I think he's going to do a great job, and I will be supporting him tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Any other comments from members of council? Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, I just want to also thank Mr. Hoffmeyer for his years of service. I don't care who you are, when you spend a lot of time on a commission or authority, it's because you care about the city of Bethlehem. And I will say that, you know, you could put any of us in the parking authority, and, you know, that job as parking authority members working for the parking authority is you're never the good guy, and a lot of times you're making very difficult decisions, and I do think overall financially, as you compared to where the parking authority was 10 12 15 years ago, it is a better it's a better space. So I also want to thank Mr. Hoffmeyer for his years of service. And you know, I think that sometimes it's hard to get people to spend a lot of time on jobs that aren't being paid, and that's the way a lot of these authorities and commissions are. And you know, Mr. Hoffmeyer put in a lot of time over the years. I also want to say that, you know, I do think Mr. Jobes will be a good fit here. And once again, that, you know, the parking authority has a lot of big decisions coming that are going to affect our downtowns and the neighborhoods that surround our downtowns, and any area that, you know, counts on regulated parking. So I think it's it behooves all of us to you know, reach out to not just Mr. Jobes and our new executive director, Mr. Bernstrom, but, you know, all the members, just to stay engaged as far as, you know, what their plans are going forward. Because I think that, you know, as I said, they're going to have a lot of big decisions, I think, about what to do on both the north side and the south side. And those are conversations that I think everybody on city council wants to be a part of. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Any other comments from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
I too just wanted to say thank you to Mr. Hoffmeyer for his years of service. This is the type of citizen involvement that we are so lucky to have. And I also look forward to working with Mr. Jobes, if he's approved tonight, as the parking liaison, as the city council liaison to the parking authority. Thank you.
Any other comments? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative order number 26, I hereby reappoint Ward Van Hart, 459 Main Street, Bethlehem, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through August 2023.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk, would please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. That's a 7-0.
Thank you. A couple other points. I'd like to acknowledge our EMS department. They received for the fifth year in a row the 2020 Mission Lifeline EMS Recognition Gold Plus Award from the American Heart Association. Job well done. We're very fortunate that we have a great group of professionals who respond about 12,000 calls each year. Speed bumps on Main Street probably will be installed by the end of the week. There'll be two speed bumps between Central Church and up to Market Street, and then from Market up to the Broad Street. So they should be in place by the end of this week. They'll be temporary. We'll take them out prior to winter to make it easier for the guys to plow snow. But that should take place this week. We should be getting the second order of planters and parklets, and that should be going up too. And our intention is to keep them out until the end of October, possibly early November, but depending on the weather. And just a response to Mr. Gallagher. The Community Advisory Board, which I serve on and is chaired by Esther Lee, was requested by the national and state chapters of the NAACP to their local chapters. Ms. Lee and I talk frequently. In fact, we met today. We met on Friday at the rally, and we've had two monthly meetings and a third monthly meeting. Ms. Lee sets the agenda. We've discussed the police use of force. We discussed the education. Dr. Roy made a presentation. Next month's presentation is on homeless. So we do meet, and we do meet monthly. And the full committee is 21, and it's a diverse committee. And I think we've accomplished a lot so far regarding that. And my final point is this. Yesterday and again this morning, I had lengthy meetings with Chief DeLuzio regarding his reposting of a Facebook photo post this weekend. Chief DeLuzio sent a memo to City Council apologizing for his poor judgment in reposting the offensive post. Today, he published a statement on his private Facebook page stating that the message embedded in the photo post does not represent what he has stood for over 40 years as a law enforcement officer. He extended our heartfelt and sincere apologies to all who read the offensive posts. Chief DeLuzio has been justly criticized and embarrassed by this incident. He has promised that nothing similar will happen again and accepts the consequences of breaking that promise would be of the most severe nature. And those are my comments regarding that issue. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Moving on with our agenda under reports, Mr. Reynolds.
Sorry, Mr. Reynolds. Give me a second here. The Finance Committee met on Tuesday, August 25th, 2020 at 6 p.m. The committee agenda included the following four items: transfer of funds, general fund, mechanical maintenance, transfer of funds, sewer capital fund, West Intermediate clarifier, gravity thickener, clarifier, catwalks, amending general fund, city health and police justice assistance grant, amending non-utility capital budget, LSA, gaming grant, police equipment, gaming. In connection with agenda item one, transfer of funds, general fund, the Finance Committee voted to recommend approval of the proposed transfer of funds and to place an appropriate transfer approval resolution on tonight's council meeting agenda. For agenda item two, transfer of funds, sewer capital fund, the Finance Committee voted to recommend approval of the proposed transfer of funds and to place an appropriate transfer approval resolution on tonight's council meeting agenda. For agenda item three, amending the general fund related to city health and the police justice assistance grant, the Finance Committee voted to recommend approval of the proposed budget amendment and to send an appropriate budget adjustment ordinance to council for first reading at tonight's meeting. And for agenda item four, amending the non-utility capital budget, the Finance Committee voted to recommend approval of the proposed budget amendment and to send an appropriate budget adjustment ordinance to council for first reading at tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Waldron. Also, under announcements, the Committee of the Whole will be meeting on Tuesday, October 6, 2020 in Town Hall. And the subject will to be reviewing the administration's five-year capital plan. And we also met as a Committee of the Whole last week, and we had our, I guess, bi-yearly ethics training held by the state, which is required under city resolution. I did get notice through Ms. Negron that someone tried to call in this evening and was able to make contact, Ms. Carol Smith, so I'm going to call her for her opportunity to make public comment,
And after that, kind of open it back up to see if there's anyone else that weren't as able to get in for whatever reason. Just to let everyone know, I have a feature on the phone, which is a do not disturb button, which I turn on when other people are on the call. So there are windows of opportunity specifically when other callers are on the line and I'm asking for comments. So if you don't fit in within that maybe 60-second window, there's a potential you could be missed. So I'll give Ms. Kim Carroll Smith a call at this time. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, thank you very much for calling. my name is Kim Carroll Smith at 833 Carlton Avenue. Am I speaking to council now?
Yes, you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My phone somehow didn't get through to you. I just had heard a busy signal, so I appreciate you taking the time right now to let me comment on something that's on the agenda.
Sure. Go ahead.
As a 32-year resident of South Bethlehem, I just want to thank the city administration folks for doing such great work to develop the student housing ordinance, which is item 60 on your agenda. It was a truly inclusive process. As South Highside homeowners, my husband and I, as well as many of our neighbors, fully support what they have come up with, and we really hope that the council will support it since their approval would support stable neighborhoods and affordable housing on the South Side while serving student residents well. I'll speak at the hearings more specifically about the significance of the ordinance for neighborhood stability, as it will make it possible for homeowners and long-term renters to be able, financially and socially, to stay in their stable neighborhoods. And these are neighborhoods for their long-term personal connections, where people live their daily lives and their social lives on pretty standard schedules in homes and apartments where the rents are affordable. But for now, simply thank you to the city administration, especially the zoning and DCED staff, for helping to turn experienced consultants to guide the research and the fact-finding process, and then for listening to the voices of residents and students, Lehigh alums, landlords, realtors, other people who participated in the discussion as the ordinance was developed. And thank you as well to a few of the city council members who met with residents and others to hear our thoughts about preserving and protecting stable, affordable, mixed-income neighborhoods. Thank you very much for letting me speak, and sorry to have interrupted the rest of your council meeting with, you know, trying to catch up here. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your comments. I'll give one last opportunity for public comment. I've turned off the Do Not Disturb button. If anyone else would like to make comment and did not have an opportunity this evening, this will be the last opportunity for that. That number is 610-997-7963. After this, we'll be moving on to ordinances for final passage this evening. Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 721 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled Streets and Sidewalks. Bill 19-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New ordinances, ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 General Fund Budget. Bill 2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 21-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Sir, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving to resolutions, resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $12,544 in the general fund budget be transferred from account general expenses unforeseen contingency to account mechanical maintenance department contracts for two new line items to be established in the general fund Bureau of Mechanical Maintenance budget. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Boulder?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $855,000 in the sewer capital budget be transferred to the following accounts: wastewater treatment plant, electrical substation replacement, gravity thickener upgrade, fixed asset repair, to the following accounts: West Intermediate Clarifier Drive renovations and the Clarifier catwalk replacement. The light item transfer amounts are specified in the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Winter Spring LLC, DBA Archie Wild, for work related to the Northside 2027 Tree Beautification Project. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Berg Construction LLC for work related to the Bethlehem Golf Course cart paths. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Seeking a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10E through 10I as a group.
So move.
Motion by Mr. Callahan.
Second.
Second by Ms. Cramsey Smith. Thank you. The clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Motion passes 7-0. Is there any discussion on resolutions 10E through 10I? Seeing none, if the clerk would please read.
I'll read through.
Read the resolutions and call the roll.
Okay. Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 530 East 4th Street to install new signs, 203 East 3rd Street to install a new sign and gooseneck lights, 14 West 4th Street to install a vinyl sign, 17 East 3rd Street to install vinyl logos on windows, exterior panels, and a hanging sign, 306 South New Street to amend the allowed time frame for rooftop terrace awning. The resolutioners are sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business? New business 11A.
Is it 11A? Councilman Callahan motioned to discharge the Human Resource and Environment Committee from consideration of the proposed wage equality ordinance.
At this point, I will look for a motion and a second to discharge the Human Resources and Environment Committee from consideration of Mr. Callahan's proposed wage equity ordinance.
So move.
Motion by Mr. Callahan. Seeking a second.
Is there discussion?
Not until there's a second.
Sorry, I second the motion. I was on mute.
Thank you. Second by Ms. Cramsey Smith. Discussion? Mr. Allen?
Thank you, President Waldron. So I have a couple of questions for Mr. Spurt first. So I just want to understand the process. I was not aware until late last night that this possibly did not have the votes to be brought to full council, which kind of shocked me. So I did not have much time to rally some forces. Mr. Spurk, if the council, full council, votes no to listen and discuss the merits of the ordinance, and it doesn't pass tonight to pull it out of committee, what happens at that point?
It stays at the committee.
It doesn't die in the committee, though, right?
No, just stays there.
And I
like
have
it is now.
And I have the right to continue to try to work with the committee members and try to get them to accept at least a meeting, correct?
Yeah, status quo stays the same.
All right, and do I have the right to bring it back to full council again to ask them to take it from the committee if the committee refuses to meet?
You could make another motion to discharge, and it would be the same as now. You have to give notice at the prior meeting, and then you'll only need a majority. But if it's a motion you just spontaneously make without including it in the agenda, then you would need 2/3 vote or 5 votes.
And there's no amount of limit of how many times I can try to bring it back. If it's, you know, well, that's my question. Go ahead.
No.
Okay. So anyways, back in December, I became aware of what I thought was a great ordinance to help protect women and especially minority women that was passed in the city of Philadelphia. It went through an appeal process, and the federal appeals court in Philadelphia ruled in favor of the city of Bethlehem, or in of the city of Philadelphia, and ruled that this is allowed. So the legality of it is totally accurate. I proposed it on December 13th, 2019. The ordinance is to establish a new article for the city's codified ordinances. This ordinance is designed to combat widespread gender-based inequalities by prohibiting employer inquiries into prospective employee wage histories, as well as employer reliance on such wage histories for determining compensation. In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, women are paid 79 cents for every dollar a man makes. According to the United States Census Bureau 2015 report, this is a 2015 federal government census report for the state of Pennsylvania. Women of color are paid even less. African American women are paid only 68 cents to the dollar paid to a man. And this is the same job. I'm not talking about a situation where people have more qualifications or someone has more years of service. This is all things being equal. An African American woman is paid 68 cents to the dollar of what a man makes for the same exact job, for the same exact qualifications. Latinas are paid only 56 cents to the dollar paid to a man. And Asian women are paid 81 cents to the dollar paid to a man. The gender wage gap has narrowed by less than one half a penny per year in the United States since 1963, when the Congress passed the final or Equal Pay Act, the first law aimed at prohibiting gender-based pay discrimination. Basically what happens is this: a business owner, whether it be an accountant, a funeral home director, or whatever, a lawyer who owns a law firm, they have increased business. They want to hire someone new. They have in their head a dollar amount that they are budgeting for the position. Let's say hypothetically it's $70,000 a year in their head that they're going to budget. A girl comes in, and because women out of college, when they first start their working careers, are paid less than men at the starting point, at the start of the race, they're already paid less than men because of these inequalities. That follows them for the rest of their career. Because based on that, let's say hypothetically, Mr. Donchez has a business. He's proposed, or he's budgeted $80,000. I go in, I have the same exact qualifications and the same exact experience and years of service as a female. I go in, the question as it is right now, all businesses are allowed to ask your prior wage history. Mr. Donchez asked me, what's your prior wage history? I say, I made $70,000 at my prior job. He says, hey, you know what? I'll give you 78 or maybe 80. A woman goes in who has the same exact qualifications. Again, we're not talking about people or women who don't have the same qualifications and same years. This is exact same qualifications. The unions already have this down. And the Beth Amira Scooters, Mr. Evans knows, and Mr. Waldron knows, his wife is a teacher. If you have a bachelor's degree, and whatever it is, and X amount of years of service, that's the dollar amount you get. Doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. That's the dollar amount. If you got a master's degree, you got X amount of years of service, that's the dollar amount you get. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It's equal. It's equitable. So, when a woman comes in, and Mr. Donchez hypothetically says, how much did you make at your prior job? And she says $54,000. Now all of a sudden, all things being equal, she's not offered the same amount of money as I am. She's not getting the $78,000 or the $80,000. She's getting offered maybe $62,000. So what happens is, it just keeps on perpetuating the wage inequalities. This ordinance has been passed not only by the city of Philadelphia, but also 21 other cities, 19 states, including Alabama. That I find amazing. The state of Pennsylvania does not allow its state entities, not businesses, there's no state law for the businesses, doesn't allow the state agencies to ask the question. This ordinance is for the city of Bethlehem. And according to the ordinance, since women are paid on average lower wages than men, basing wages upon a worker's wage at a previous job only serves to perpetuate gender wage inequalities, and it leaves families with less money to spend on food, housing, and other essential goods and services. The premise of this ordinance, and this is the bottom line of it, the premise of this ordinance is that salary offers should be based upon the specific job responsibilities of a position and not based upon an applicant's prior wage history, so as to avoid the perpetuation of gender wage inequalities. in Philadelphia. Give me a second here to find it. A woman, Rue Landau, who is an expert in human relations and businesses, basically stated, let me find the quote here. She's the executive director of the Philadelphia Commission on Human Relations, which unanimously passed the city council vote in Philadelphia in 2017. It says it comes amid a variety of worker protection legislation that's implemented, or that's been implemented in recent years. This one, she said, quote, should be held up as one that is all about equality and protecting people's civil rights. She says, quote, I've never understood the argument against it. This is a leading expert in wage inequality and women's rights and human relations with businesses. So I wrote up, I had Solicitor Spurk and some other lawyers helped me with the with writing this up, along with some women in the Lehigh Valley who I respect greatly. I also have my daughter, Erica, to represent the younger crowd on the committee. I came up with the ordinance, I proposed it, and President Waldron, you had moved it to committee, which is the right thing to do. That, why it gets moved to committee, is for the work to be done, for us to hammer out the details, and to come up with changes or amendments if the committee members so see it. It got sent to committee, and the Bethlehem Human Relations Board, for some reason, was under the impression that there would be thousands and thousands of cases per year, and they didn't want anything to do with it. I have since found out from at least four lawyers from the Northampton County Bar who've told me there's no way you're going to have thousands of cases. At the max, 4 or 5 year, if you're lucky. And that was an unsolicited opinion from them that none of them knew. Their rationale is that businesses generally follow the law. When the city passes an ordinance, it usually becomes law within X amount of days. We're giving this ordinance, written in the ordinance already, we're giving a 1 year educational piece. We're not even letting it become law for one full year. And I had talked to the mayor about possibly sending this out with the tax bills to the union. We're going to spread the word through the DBA and the Chamber of Commerce. Businesses, the bottom line is, businesses do not want to break a law, especially when it comes to wage inequality for women, and be on the headline news of Channel 69, The Morning Call, and Express Times. They follow the law. For the one or two or three or four year that don't, I would have had liked to have sent it to the Human Relations Board. They didn't want anything to do with it, which is their prerogative. I want to thank Lehigh County Commissioner Amy Zanelli for reaching out. She is in the process with Lehigh County and Northampton County of creating a Human Relations Board, which she thinks said to me that it should be up and running way before this 1 year time limit is up, where our law becomes impacted. So, prior to that knowledge, I was going to have it just sent to, I wanted to make a change or amendment to it, but I can't get the two committee members that are on the committee with me to agree to a date. Mr. Vadoni, if I'm wrong with the dates, I would, off the top of my head, I'd say probably about 25 to 30 dates we've sent out. They have refused to meet. I've asked in 4 emails that I've copied Mr. Waldron on and Mr. Vadoni on, and a couple, the last couple, I also copied Grace, Councilman Grace Ramsey Smith. I've asked for amendments. Mr. Spark, when things go to a committee, the committee is supposed to hammer out the details according to Robert's Rules of Orders, correct?
Yeah, the committees would do fine detail work and then report back to council to save time and efficiency so it doesn't have to be done by the entire council.
Correct. So at that point, if I'm wrong, according to Robert's Rules of Order, if I'm wrong, correct me, please. At that point, the committee can then, if they don't like the ordinance, they can provide and suggest amendments to the existing ordinance or to the ordinance that's being proposed, correct?
Yeah, they can propose amendments, they can make recommendations to full council, they can vote no, do anything.
Okay. If they don't like the ordinance as it's written, they can vote no against it, which then sends it to full council with a majority vote saying, no, we don't recommend this ordinance. Or they can vote yes for it. So there's three options when it goes to committee. You can vote yes for it and recommend to full council the yes, the committee, the Human Relations Committee approves of it. You can vote no against it, saying no, we don't think this is a good ordinance. Or they can propose amendments to it and try to pass it that way. And if they still don't like it, they have the option of voting no, correct?
They can do anything they want. They can vote yes and send it to council. They can vote no and send it to council. They can vote not to send it back to council.
Thank
they
you.
Can,
so anyways, my
they
point
can
is...
work to council. They do anything.
I've tried over 6 months to get another committee meeting scheduled. This is a good ordinance. It's a good ordinance. To block it because of personal feelings and stop women, primarily minority women, from being abused with their wage inequalities, to me, is not right. So, I want to thank Lehigh County Commissioner Amy Zanelli for reaching out to me. I also want to thank fellow council members Grace Cramsey Smith and Michael Colon for their advice and counseling over the last 2 days. I appreciate it, and I'm hopefully living up to what I said I would do to remain calm. But this is important legislation that helps to empower women, especially women of color who are statistically more impacted. We want Bethlehem to continue to be a city of equality for everyone. As I stated several times in emails and verbally here at council a few times, I would be more than happy to work together and accept any amendments needed to make this ordinance better. I've received none over 6 months. I was asked in a meeting to have a personal conversation to meet. I'm not allowed to do that. According to Solicitor Spark, two committee members cannot meet to discuss when there's only three people on a committee. That is a Sunshine Act violation. I would hope that everybody on this council is in favor of openness. We all talked about it and transparency. I don't know why we can't have a meeting and discuss this. I really don't. I don't know what everybody's afraid of, but if you think it's a good ordinance, let's pass it on to full council. If you don't agree with it, give me an amendment. And if you still don't like it, vote no against it and send it to full council. But I don't understand the stall tactics. So, if it would, well, I'll leave it at that for now. I would just hope that cooler heads prevail with the committee members, and that at some point we either have the time to fulfill your council committee obligations, or if you put the personal and professional reasons why you are stonewalling and a good ordinance to protect all women. Whichever it isn't good. So I have some additional comments I will make, but I will wait for any additional comments from any other council members. But I would ask all of you to understand, I have tried over 6 months. I've been more than patient. It's a good ordinance. If you don't like it, give me some amendments. I've asked 4 times in emails and twice at council meetings. I've received no replies. I'm not allowed, we are not allowed to meet individually. That's a violation. And we're all about openness. I've heard everybody on this council talk about openness and transparency. Let's have the meeting out front. That's all I ask. And I would hope, and I ask for all of you tonight on council to understand, I tried. I've asked for the amendments and the changes, I've gotten them. Mr. Vedoni, if I'm wrong, you can quote me on it. At least 25 to 30 dates I've sent out. They've agreed, the committee members have agreed to other dates with other committees that they're on numerous times. So something's going on. And all I'm asking for is that if you think, and this is to the rest of the council, not the committee members, is anyone on council that's not on the committee against the basic premise of the ordinance that salary offers should be based upon the specific job responsibilities of a position and not based upon an applicant's prior wage history, so we can avoid the perpetuation of gender wage inequalities? If you believe in that, you will vote yes on this, and we're not voting to pass it. All we're voting on it is to bring it to council to discuss it. This is the same situation with the same two council people when we had the stonewalling of the parking meter fund penalties. It stayed there. And that was the first time in 7 years on council, and maybe Mr. Reynolds, you've been on council long or not, I don't know how many times we've had to ask a committee to discharge the committee to bring something to full council. This is the second time in less than a year, and it's never happened before in all the years I was on council. And Mr. Cologne, who was the chair of that committee, was in favor of it, but he couldn't get it out of council because these two same council people were trying to block it. It came to council and we passed it. All I'm asking all of you tonight is to vote yes, and not to pass it. We're not voting to pass it. Just bring it here so we can discuss it. That's all I'm asking. Kindly. I'm asking kindly. Let's discuss this. This is a good ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. I'll turn to other members of the committee and council for comments. First, I was hoping to turn to Mr. Spurk for some clarification. Mr. Callahan talked about the Sunshine Laws, the Sunshine Act specifically, and how that works in with a committee. When it's council, it's a bit different because the numbers are so different. But when you have a committee, even two people getting together could potentially trigger a violation of that. So I was hoping for a little bit of clarification as to what two members of the same committee might be able to talk about in kind of a micro and macro aspect, as far as obviously they are able to communicate, but on what level, to the point where it'd be potentially become a sunshine violation?
It's good that the one's first reaction would be to be cautious, knowing that two people out of the three-person committee constitute a quorum. So it's good that one should always be cautious when engaging in discussion like that. Sunshine Act forbids deliberating agency business, weighing the pros and cons, arguing back and forth, debating. If two people on a committee were to do that, that's got to be public. But short of debating or arguing the pros and cons, if two people sit together and draft a proposed ordinance, two people who are like-minded and think, let's get something together, and they're both on the same committee and they want to sit down and draft it together and should we put a comma here? Should we add this sentence? Should we put this proposal in there? I don't think that's debating the pros and cons or weighing agency business. I think two people can work together to draft an ordinance. One person says, I'll never vote for that. I won't vote for anything like that. I might consider something like this. That's probably all right. But the actual weighing the pros and cons and debating is the problem. So be careful and be cautious in that respect. But I think it's overstating it to say that two members of the committee can't talk to each other.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Spurk.
Can I ask Mr. Spurk a question?
Sure.
Is it so, because I have a proposed ordinance, I know we've all spoken individually on other issues, but because this is an ordinance that I've already put forward, and to have a discussion, not in an open setting and not being transparent, Mr. Spurk, because I've already proposed it, I'm assuming from your comments that we are not allowed to have two people on the same committee discussing the pros, cons, or amendments or changes to the proposed ordinance that's on the table.
Yeah, the pros and cons thing there, when you said that, that would make me say don't do that. Don't weigh the pros and cons and debate the merits of an ordinance in a two-person conversation if you're a quorum of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Spurk. Are there any other comments or questions from members of council? Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Thank you. The reason I seconded the motion is because I think it is, the context of the ordinance is good, obviously, and we've had people call in and support it, and I'm sure there are many, many people, most if not all women in the city, and when we talk gender, you know, we've got to realize now we're talking about transgender also, and I think that from what I've seen and read, they are a population that are being discriminated against, especially in the wage issue. So I think this wage equity ordinance can be very helpful for women as well as transgender individuals. But the reason I seconded the motion is because I wanted to discuss this, and I thought that we could discuss it without having to bring it back. But nonetheless, I think it was good that we had the discussion. I think it's important that we get it back to the committee. I think that everybody on the committee, although there's whatever issues there are with its ordinance, I would think that everybody on this committee certainly agrees with the basic tenets of the ordinance and wants to make it happen. So I'm hoping that the committee can get together and work and amend it as necessary, especially in light of the fact that Commissioner Zanelli is proposing a possibly a bi-county human relations commission. So that adds some more flavor to this ordinance. So again, my hope is that the committee can go back and work on this ordinance and come up with something that is agreeable by all to all, and that will be beneficial to all genders within the city, especially women and especially the transgender population.
Thank you, Ms. Crimsey Smith. Mr. Clone had his hand up first, and then I'll turn to Dr. Minwert.
Thank you, President Waldron. Just a couple quick things in reference to what we heard earlier regarding a public safety committee meeting. I will remind everyone that whatever ordinances have been reviewed at public safety have come out of committee and been reviewed. But just a couple things as it relates to this ordinance. Now, looking back, the original email from Mrs. Kelchner had come out back in January of 2019, so I know it's been something that's on everyone's radar. I do, and I've already had acknowledged to Mr. Callahan that I don't support the ordinance as it's written, and we're not talking today about supporting this or not supporting this. And also, I think it's unprecedented. We heard reference to unprecedented to have ordinances not come out of committee potentially. It would also be unprecedented to pull ordinances out of committee also. So that's something, two different angles to look at everything too. But just as we talk about, as it relates to this ordinance, And I'll touch briefly on the Human Relations Commission, because we heard mention of that. Since the beginning of this year, everyone is pretty much aware now, I chaired the Human Relations Commission. As members of council, we've appointed three new members of the Human Relations Commission over the summer. So we have three new members. That's not going from 97 to 100, that's going from 6 to 9. So that's a big turnover. So I hope that a future HRC meeting, when we have all the new members and a forum present, to be able to talk about where everyone's at as it relates to how the ordinance reads as is proposed. That being said, and I look forward to hearing from everybody on council or whoever has input to say, just curious as to where we, you know, where we are with the process. I would favor the committee in some capacity moving forward. It is within the committee's right, as Mr. Spurs said, to do anything, regardless of it's moving forward with a positive recommendation, negative recommendation, or keep it at committee. In terms of the subject matter of the ordinance, which again, I can't reiterate, I don't support as written, but in terms of what the spirit of the ordinance is, I would think that most of us could agree the intentions are good with it. And I would just be curious to, if not this, where do we go from here? If we want to see something in this nature or with this intent come forward on council or through council to pass something, is the will of the committee, is the will of council to build off of what has already been presented in terms of a committee meeting? Is it to start anew in that the language of what's been presented isn't really favorable or applicable? I mean, we've heard reference to other cities, other states. I mean, there's a lot of mechanics there. We know as legislators that the devil's in the details. I think it would be easy to pass just one ordinance that says, yeah, you can't do this. But obviously it's the enforcement mechanisms and the details and minutiae of really everything we pass, especially with intent like this, that's really what can bog us down and hold us back, as we've seen with numerous ordinances time and time again. So that's just my two cents with it. Again, kind of echoing a little bit of what was said previously by Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith. I agree with the nature of it, with the context and the spirit of what was presented. In terms of how we move forward, I guess that's the biggest question. I understand Mr. Callahan's eagerness to want to move forward, and I hear him when he says that, you know, he thinks this is a good ordinance, but I would hope so, because he's the one who put it forward. It wasn't too long ago we had a committee of the whole meeting about an ethics ordinance that some members of council thought was fine the way it was presented, and you know, then that we took other routes to kind of achieve some of the same means. So that's how I look at this, is if we want to continue going down this road of wage equality, how do we want to get there, whether it is through what's already been put in front of us, and then there's some legwork to be done by members of council to kind of garner support and see how we move forward with that, or if it's to start anew or from a different perspective or a different angle. So that's just my two cents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clown. Dr. Van Wert?
Thank you. I'm just going to read a little statement I prepared, but I did want to say thank you to the callers, including Commissioner Zanelli, for calling in and supporting what is a very important issue and an important ordinance for Bethlehem. When Mr. Callahan introduced his amendment, he started in a good place. He had based our wage equality ordinance on the one in Philadelphia. He also directed at that time that violations of the ordinance would go to our Human Relations Commission, but unfortunately, they did not feel at that time that they had the capacity to handle it. The second iteration of the ordinance as it came out was the problem that I had with it, and that I made very clear in committee that I had with it, is that the adjudication of any complaints of violations of this ordinance would go to court. And I felt that that was a real disinhibitor, especially for marginalized women, for people who don't have money, for people who are scared of the courts, to get up the courage to even think of filing a complaint and going before a judge and potentially having to hire a lawyer to represent them, because probably the company, if they were going to defend themselves in court, would hire a lawyer too. And I felt that that was a substantive problem with the ordinance itself that was not addressable by an amendment. I made this very clear during the last committee meeting, and Mr. Callahan responded that it was perfect as it was, but I could put an amendment on there. And I tried to explain that I did not feel that this was an amendable solution, because we needed to come up with what would the alternative to the courts be. I think we have a lot of opportunity in front of us right now, because we have a reinvigorated human relation commission with new members and a new chair. We also have the potential for the Bi-County Human Relations Commission. So I think there's some real pathways forward here, and I think that this can be covered adequately in committee. So I have always been willing to go in committee and talk about this ordinance and make this ordinance better, but we have to have done the work first to make sure that the adjudication portion, which is so important to this, even if it is a few people, it is still important to get it right, because we want to make sure that all of Bethlehem citizens feel like that if they're experiencing a violation of this ordinance, that they can come forward and be heard in a place where they don't have to have a lot of upfront fees and they're not scared of the court. I also had some suggestions to add to this which would be amendable, including the one that is now based on the federal Paycheck Fairness Act, which is passed by the House but held up in the Senate, which basically disallows companies from saying you can't share your salary with someone else, because that's another way that wage inequality is perpetrated over time. So we have a lot of good work, I think, that we can do on this committee. I would like to make sure that Mr. Callahan is open to these changes, because it's the problem of the adjudication that caused the no vote in the first place. It had nothing to do with any reluctance to support wage equality ordinances. We want to get this done. I think there's a lot of movement here. I think it's clear that council cares very much about this, and I look forward to working with everyone on getting this done in committee. Thank you.
Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. First of all, would like to say I was really happy and surprised to hear our Madam Chair of Lehigh County Council, Sainelli, speak up. It's great news. I know that she's only capable of doing great things, and in that position she will, but going to a county level, it that's even more powerful. But I will also have to speak on a few feedbacks that I heard. This ordinance is very important, and it matters. You know, I am a woman of color. I have been hurt by this issue, so I don't need to hear it again how important it is. I know, but I also know that it is important that we get it right. And the end part of how are we going to make sure that this is made correctly and is going to be done correctly? It's what would the problem lays. And I was happy to hear, I know that Councilman Colon is leading the HR committee, and we were good to getting more members in there. So I am really hopeful that will change. I'm looking forward to hearing from Councilman Colon reporting on the next HR committee meeting, where they had a conversation about how about we take care of this inequality problem with women. I'm hopeful that will happen, and that the resolution, the way it was written at the beginning, will be okay, because it will include that the human relation will be doing the check and balances for this ordinance. So I am hopeful that we will be able to move forward, especially, again, Councilman Colon, my eyes are on you. I'm waiting for that report where that committee meets. I know it's getting bigger, and I know it has potential to, you know, and that's something that I also wanted to mention. You know, I have talked lately with all of these issues with racial equity, inequity. I've talked with people about the Human Relations Commission that we have, and people have no idea it exists. They go like, what? What do they do? You know, yeah, there was supposed to be a 1 year of educating the community about what the commission was going to do and how it was going to help. Well, there's a lot of people out there that have no idea it exists or what we'll do. So this could be, as it grows and where it's at now and with the leadership of Colón, we'll move the right way forward to get the committee engaged, the community better educated about what the commission will do. And could be that they will play their role that, like in Philadelphia and other places, these ordinances have created, that it is the human relation that plays the role of the check and balance. And so I am looking forward for a conversation at a committee level, especially excited about the opportunities with the new information that we have now. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
I would just start actually with a question. I don't want to repeat what everybody else has said. I would just start with a question for, I don't know if it's for Mr. Colón or, when does the HRC plan to meet again? Is it end of September? Is that what I'd seen?
So we meet, thank you, Mr. Reynolds, because I wanted to make sure everyone was aware of that. The HRC meets the fourth Wednesday of each month, and then at the, I had this topic on the agenda for the last month's meeting. However, we didn't have a quorum to hold a meeting at the last month's meeting. So it's something that, and only one of the three newest members was able to attend even without a quorum. So the meetings, for anyone taking note, fourth Wednesday of each month at 6:30 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Colón. And I know that I've been going to the meetings pretty regularly leading up to the pandemic, and I think the pandemic has affected a lot of things, including, I believe it was a situation where the HRC didn't meet for several months related to the pandemic. I'm not sure if that might have been because of lack of members or whatever, but I think that there is a real opportunity there, and it seems to me as if there is the will to have a committee meeting and there's the will to listen to the HRC that this is going to get its conversation after people have had a chance to take in the information from the HRC, bring it back, think about it, offer amendments, offer changes or whatever at the committee level. I think that, you know, no one is going to disagree with the goal or the cause of this ordinance. It just seems as if, you know, it's often the how and not the what. And I think that, you know, if it's a situation where people have different ideas, you know, the only thing that I would ask is whether or not that conversation would happen at the committee level or as council as a whole, is I do think that we should have an opportunity to hear all of these different solutions on this at the same time, or that we have an opportunity to hear the different ideas at the same time. So by the time it gets to city council as a whole, and if for whatever reason that can't happen at the committee level down the line or whatever, so be it. But I think it's important for us that by the time the seven of us have a chance to vote on it, up or down, is that we have all of the information and we have a good opportunity to consider the different moving parts. Like I think that the potential adjudication involving Lehigh County or Northampton County is a very, very important thing. I don't think it needs to be 100% set in stone saying we are, you know, appointing members in, you know, November, December, January, and we're going to start doing things in February. But if, and I believe that in this potential ordinance, there is that year waiting period, as Mr. Callahan said. So getting an understanding of what the counties are planning on doing, I think is obviously a major thing that, you know, we need to, it's very promising and we need to get, you know, our heads around before council necessarily takes a step. Another thing on the HRC is, you know, going to the meetings in the past couple of years, one of the things you heard from the members was questions about the mission. And one of the things that, you know, the members had said, and Mr. Colón, I don't want to speak for anybody on the committee, but, you know, I heard it there is, you know, it was, you know, without any money at all for education or to get out and have conversations about what discrimination laws are and things like that, that it left the mission a little bit unclear to some members. And then, you know, I have talked to the administration about putting a few dollars into the 2020 budget, and I think there might have been $5,000 added to the budget this year. I might be wrong about that number, but I think it was $5,000. If Mr. Colon's holding up $8,000, he's holding up eight fingers there. So $8,000 into the budget that were going to be used for kind of like proactive education efforts and things like that, talking to the chamber, talking to business groups and things like that. So I think there absolutely is a will on the HRC to be more involved. And I think that it's listening to the committed members there is a good step. But I guess I would just finish by saying is, you know, I do think council as a whole needs to have this conversation, but I think we need to wait until all of these different ideas are kind of fleshed out. And I'm hopeful from what I hear tonight that a committee meeting can be scheduled sometime after late September, that hopefully more information can be gained from the HRC, from the counties. I know Dr. Van Wert talked about potential other ideas that she had there. And it seems to me as if, you know, a committee meeting can be scheduled in, you know, October or sometime in the near future, that as far as this motion is concerned, it's not necessary then. Because I think that if a month ago it had been, you know, we're scheduling a meeting, and like I said, we have a pandemic going on, everybody's busy. I understand that, you know, Dr. Van Wert's been working as a doctor. That's something I know about too with Natalie. It's taking up a lot of people's time. But I think that as far as, you know, scheduling a meeting, it seems to be the solution to a lot of the issues that have come up tonight. And, you know, I think as long as that can be scheduled, the motion isn't necessary then. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Mr. Callahan?
Thank you so much. I want to thank and welcome Mr. Reynolds' comments. I agree with him at some point. Full council should be have the opportunity to discuss this and talk about it, and that has been my aim and my goal the whole time. As I said earlier, I have tried over 6 months and 25 to 30 dates, and I just got frustrated when memo after memo after memo after memo with multiple dates on was turned down by the committee members, and yet they had time for other committees that they were on. So I apologize for taking it personal, but I felt like after the 25 to 30 meetings were proposed and denied, and I've asked several times for amendments and changes. As Dr. Van Wert is correct, I did say I like this ordinance as it is. I will say this. Grace Cramsey Smith, Councilman Grace Cramsey Smith is correct. This does really impact the LGBTQ organization and membership severely. And I spoke to Adrian Schenker about it. Adrian liked the ordinance other than one thing on it, which was issue, and he had an issue with D.04, the penalty phase, which refers to multiple violations of a possible imprisonment. There's a fine stage first. And this is, again, after a one-year educational piece. It doesn't take law for a year after we pass it. And then at that point, if there's any violations, there's fines. And then after multiple fines, there is a possible imprisonment. He did not support that. I wanted to have a meeting, and that's why I called for, you know, the 25 or 30 meetings to tell the committee this. But it's tough to tell anybody something in committee when they refuse to have a committee meeting. And I did not want to violate the Sunshine Act, and I did not want to. I want the transparency, and I want the openness. And I think we're all in favor of that. So I did want to say one other thing too, Mr. Colon. If I'm wrong, I think Mr. Bodoni and Mr. Waldron, I think you can attest to this. It's not unprecedented for council to discharge an ordinance from a committee. We just recently did it with the parking fines. It was stalled in committee. Council voted to discharge it from that committee, correct? Does anybody remember that? It was done recently.
I remember the fine increase was in the public safety committee, and we had a motion. Mr. Klon seems he might have a better memory at 10 o'clock at night. Go ahead, Mr. Klon.
I might be misremembering, but I thought it just came out, I thought the committee did vote on it, and it might have just come out of council, or come out of committee, excuse me, with a negative recommendation. Not that council voted on discharging it from committee, just that council voted against the recommendation of the committee, which is, of course, a different act in of itself.
If I'm incorrect, I apologize, but for some reason, I remember having two votes on that, one to pull it out of committee, and then one for the final passage of it. So with that being said, if Dr. Van Wert and Councilwoman Negron are agreeable to meeting in committee within the next month, again, I've been patient, it's been over 6 months, if they're agreeable to meeting and also agreeable to sending me any changes or amendments that you'd like, I am more than happy to vote for any amendments or changes that you might have to the existing ordinance. So if you are both in agreement that you are willing to meet to discuss this and also willing to send me any amendments or changes, I think we have made tremendous progress here tonight. So Dr. Van Wert and Councilwoman Negron, is that fair?
We need to meet after the Human Relations Commission meets.
Can you send me any amendments to the ordinance that you are proposing?
Can you repeat that?
Could you, if you have any changes, it's our ordinance, right? It's not the Human Relations. There's a piece in here now that because of the amount of people on Human Relations, it's staff at like numbers that we haven't seen in years. And also because of Ms. Council Lehigh County Commissioner Zanelli's comments, she informed me that, and I'm sure she told you also, that she can assure us that by the time this ordinance becomes in effect a year from whenever it would be voted on, that there would be a Human Relations Committee on Lehigh and Northampton County. I think the important thing is we're trying to not vote on an ordinance, which is a good ordinance to protect women, because we're worried about what's going to how it's going to be processed at the end. Right now, it can go to the Human Relations Committee in the city of Bethlehem. They were under the impression that when it first came to them, there was going to be thousands of cases, which is not the case. And with the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission, if it gets to a point where we have multiple cases and they can't handle the load, I would hope at that time, according to Commissioner Zanelli, that the counties, Lehigh and Northampton, both have their committees up and running. And I was also trying to propose that it goes to district justices. All the lawyers that I've spoken to, the district justices, this is what they are there for. These are small, it doesn't go to the Supreme Court of the United States. This goes to a district justice, a small level magistrate. And this is the type of thing that they hear. And most lawyers, Mr. Spark, you can, correct me if I'm wrong, most lawyers, the four that I spoke to, most lawyers will charge you between $300 and $500 to represent someone at a district justice. And I was also told that they would be more than happy to represent anybody at the district justice level, provided that they could, talk to the client and have a percentage of any fine or settlement with the business. Because according to them, I may be wrong, this is their words, not mine, there's no business that's gonna willingly violate a city ordinance and take, especially an equal pay ordinance for women, and risk the publicity and FMZ, the morning call, or the Express Times. So I think what we need to do, if you have any changes, would you be willing, is it fair if I withdraw this, would you two be willing to send me any amendments or changes? We can get that done now before the Human Relations Committee meets.
Dr. Van Wert?
So I can tell you what the steps would be necessary in order to fix this ordinance would be, number one, going to the Human Relations Commission meeting at the end of September and seeing what the consensus is on that committee for wanting to take this on. And if their answer is positive, number two, talking to Michael Colon about what this means to take this on. Number three, drafting those changes into the ordinance so that the adjudication is done by the Human Relations Commission with ultimate responsibility to the Bi-County Commission if it's something that they feel they cannot handle. Those would be the steps.
I know Mr. Colon wanted to make comment as someone who's got some knowledge on this. Mr. Colon?
Thank you, President Waldron. I'll just say this, piggybacking off some comments of other council members. One, as it relates to community engagement with the Human Relations Commission, Mr. Reynolds was correct. Yeah, the COVID-19 really flipped the world upside down for a lot of people. It's something that we were in the heart of COVID-19 for, I think, just about all the spring months or most of the months after the new year. We didn't have any meetings. Regardless of membership, it's just people were, it was tough. We're figuring things out. So going off of what Councilwoman Negron said, yeah, we're working on that aspect of community engagement, education, things like that, and figuring out how to apply the budget that was budgeted for the HRC. But just as it relates to the topic on the floor, I would ask to any committee meetings to wait until that fourth Wednesday meeting in September, which is the fourth Wednesday at 6:30. That's the 23rd of this month is when the HRC would meet. Granted that we have a quorum for that meeting to at least get feedback, because I don't want to speak for what the, even as chair, I still won't speak to what the HRC's opinion is going to be. And we have eight other members of that commission. Like I had mentioned, three of whom are new, which I think it's important to kind of hear their opinion of everything. And I do invite anyone who wants to listen in to come out. So while I think it's a great idea and it's very encouraging, that sounds like there's support amongst the committee to continue the conversation, I would just ask for it to be after that meeting where all are invited, if they're public, and see what the stance of the temperature of the HRC is going to be then, because I don't want to speak for the commission in terms of, and even why there might be merits or not. I'm not going to discuss that now. This isn't about the pros and cons of the ordinance. It's about bringing it out of committee or to council. And I would say any meetings that move forward about this should be after, I would politely ask to wait until after the 23rd of September if we're able to get a quorum together for the Human Relations Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clough. Mr. Connell?
I will, as long as the two committee members, Councilwoman Negron and also Councilwoman Van Wert, agree to meet in a fair time after that September meeting and Mr. Colon gets back to us, I would be willing to pull this from the agenda tonight, provided that I'm going to pull it based on a hope of goodwill on their part, that they make an honest effort and you may not like me personally, but don't block a good ordinance that protects women. That's all I ask. And if they both agree that they would meet in a timely fashion after the Human Relations Board meets, I'd be willing to pull that. So is that agreeable to the two of you, Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron?
think we're willing to meet with you in the future after we talk to Michael, Mr. Cologne, and we talk to the Human Relations Commission, yes.
Thank you. I think we made some progress here tonight, and I hope that the Human Relations Board understands that this is not going to be thousands of cases like they were originally told or thought. It's going to be a very small amount of people, if any. And I think we change it, make amendments to it. If you don't like certain parts of it, I certainly want to make an amendment to it to remove the incarceration part of it. But I can't do that unless we meet in a meeting. So as long as there's an honest effort to meet and an honest effort to provide me any changes or amendments to this ordinance, I would be more than willing to pull this from the agenda tonight. And then I would reserve the right to bring it back to full council. I think at the end we all agree that full council should have an opportunity to weigh this, discuss it, and vote on it. Is that fair, Dr. Van Wert and Ms. DeGrom?
I think we answered all the questions.
Okay, so you're in agreement with that then?
Just like I said, I think we answered all the questions.
Thank you. I appreciate the honest effort and trying to move this forward, and I thank everybody on council for listening to what I believe is a very important issue for the women of Bethlehem. Thank you. So I officially remove this from the agenda tonight, and also reserve the right to bring it back at a later time if I see fit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. I don't know if Mr. Cologne is still with us or not, but I just wanted to clarify for the record that the name is the Human Relations Commission, just so we're all on the same page. Is that right? Human Relations Commission. Got it. Thank you. Mr. Reynolds, you had some new business this evening?
Yeah, I wanted to just talk a little bit about the community engagement initiative. And I know when we had discussed this, which meeting this was, I had talked about the two different tracks here as far as community-based meetings and versus meetings necessarily run by the city. And I actually had gotten an email from Councilman Groen earlier this week about a couple of different events going on. And it sparked a what I think is an important kind of organizational and structure thing for us going forward. Is there are a lot of organizations that are already doing wonderful conversations, forums, events on equity, on discrimination, on a lot of the different issues that we've talked about. One of the things that I think we need to do is, as I said at the committee meeting, is that we need to allow groups and organizations to have the conversations and structure the conversations in the manner that they want, but at the same time encourage not just us, but the administration, the mayor, and the police officers to be part of these conversations as well. That might be listening, it might be however these different organizations want to do it, but one of the things that I think that we can do as a city is that we can kind of consolidate a lot of those different conversations. We've heard bits and pieces, people forward emails about, you know, wonderful things that's going on. The library is holding this organization is doing this. But I think one of the things that we can do is we can kind of bring all that information together. And whether or not we send out something every couple of weeks or every month or whatever that says, like, these are the community conversations that are going on within the next month that kind of have something to do with this this topic that we all care a lot about. With that being said, I think it is important that we stand committed to attending as many of those conversations as we can, either as participants or listeners, but also that we think about how do we extend those conversations beyond just the traditional people that kind of go, which often includes us, and how do we extend them if organizations want those conversations into including members of the police department. And then with that, I will transition to Councilman Cramsey Smith and I had an opportunity last week to meet with the administration in the police department. And one of the things we talked about was on the city side, about some of the conversations that, you know, the city should be leading, and whether or not that's a public safety committee meeting or whether or not, you know, it's the administration. And I know, I think I saw an email that the administration had asked for a, I believe it was a committee of the whole meeting, or had asked for a meeting later on in October. We talked last week, we had a good conversation with the police about, you know, having meetings that on the city side about, you know, how do we respond to calls? Who gets called at what point? When do you call mental health? What type of training do we go through? Because before we can really come up with any potential suggestions from a practical level, we need to understand how do we respond to those things. And I want to say that in our conversation, you know, the chief and the other officers there were very open to that, and they thought that was a good idea. And I believe Mr. Evans was there as well, you know, to kind of have those kind of informational conversations so we can maybe take a look and, you know, kind of understand, you know, why things are necessarily done that way. I've also had the opportunity over the last couple weeks to talk to a couple of the different people that have reached out, like Professor Oakes. I reached out to her a couple weeks ago, and I know her core team met last week, and then she sent me an email last week that said that, you know, they were looking to host their own kind of event where they could kind of set the agenda, they could set the structure, they could talk about their research, and they were looking to do that sometime in the fall. So, you know, I think we have a lot of these different potential conversations going on. A couple social service providers said they were interested as well, so I think that we're really making progress there. But at the same time, one of the things that I think we need to work at as, and this is kind of a logistical thing, is how do we kind of bring those conversations together to show City Council, show people on our mailing list, show the administration, this is what community groups are doing on their own in our community, and we need to be a part of it. And we need to listen to what people are being said, what they're saying. So I would, that would be the kind of the conclusion to my comments on the community engagement initiative. And I wanted to, you know, just transition a little bit to, the mayor had made comments during his report about the social media posting from the chief. And I want to thank Mr. Donches for those strong comments. And I think that, you know, in the past couple of days, we've gotten two apologies, or two, you know, memos and apologies from the chief. I would say that I think that in 2020, or I don't think, I know, that in 2020, you know, and I think a lot of us got forwarded the same screenshots from, you know, different people, and I saw people talking about it today in social media, is that it's disappointing and disturbing at any point. But at this point in particular, like, we're trying to have conversations about, you know, trusting people in authority, understanding, you know, when people say Black Lives Matter, it's about understanding that African Americans have a different experience. That particular meme about professional athletes and the NBA and those athletes protesting go far beyond just about police brutality. And I understand the chief's apology, and I read it, and that he didn't see the words underneath and everything else. But it's the type of thing that hurts the trust that people have, that we understand the kind of conversation that, you know, a lot of people in our community are looking to have. And one of the things that I think that people on City Council have done is talked about how, and what the administration has done is talked about how people want to be part of that conversation. And, you know, it's a message that is easier to be said than to be taken back. And, you know, I think that the gut reaction when you saw it was one of, like I said, disappointment. And it's hard for us to turn around and say, you know, everybody, including the highest police officer we have in our department, is open to understanding that a lot of these conversations go well beyond the police department, and what a lot of the protests that are going on are not just about exactly the police department, but also all of these other issues. And right now, the best thing we can do is not, you know, not talk about moving money, not talk about any of that, but just say we understand the premise of the protests and where people are coming from. And like I said, the police chief is not our appointee. He works for the mayor. I appreciate the mayor's strong response. The words you said earlier tonight were some of the strongest that I've ever heard from the mayor about, you know, you know, it was clear your disappointment and your anger. But I just felt it had to be said that, you know, it's not something, those are the things that damage the trust and relationship with the community. So I appreciate the strong words. You know, at the same time, you know, we need to do better as a city, or people are not going to take us seriously when we talk about systemic racism and reform. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Are there any other comments or new business from members of council? Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
I'll try to be brief, but I just want to piggyback what Mr. Reynolds said regarding the community engagement initiative. Thank you to Mr. Gallagher for his questions. And like Mr. Reynolds said, we have been following up and talking with the police chief and the different lieutenants and police department. And one thing that I think we got a lot of feedback from through the community engagement initiative, and actually nationally, is about the mental health aspect and how that interfaces with the daily activities of the police and training. And those are two aspects that I really tried to, that we tried to focus on, and we're hoping that we can work on those things as far as collaborating more with mental health resources within our community, especially at the county level, and especially looking at training and making sure that our officers are getting adequate and appropriate training. As far as Mr. Gallagher did mention about the small percentage of the Black population in the city and what are we doing about the Latinx population, and I just want to clarify that the NAACP is for the advancement of colored people, and it means people of all colors. It does not focus just on the Black community, so I just want to reinforce that to Mr. Gallagher. And also I just want to thank the mayor for addressing the issue with the chief, and thank you to the chief for his apology. I also just want to say that we need to be very cognizant of what is going on in our country and in our community. There is great racial unrest, and it is legitimate, and we really need to be careful, especially when we are in positions of power within the community, that we are assured that we do not ridicule those who are asserting their civil disobedience for that which they really value. And that was the gist of that post. And while the chief had mentioned that he wasn't aware of it, I just hope that he is more cognizant of those kinds of things in the future, because it really can do a lot of harm and negate all that we're trying to do with the community engagement initiative. And finally, I just want to thank the administration for the speed bumps downtown, because having been downtown the last couple of weeks, I just really feel for the business owners. I mean, this pandemic has really hit small business owners severely, and getting people to come downtown to eat is one thing, but then when they're down there and they have all this excessive noise and speeding, it is just such a distraction, and that's the last thing that these poor business owners need. So I just would implore the administration to continue to do anything we can, especially in the area of enforcement legally, for the noise and the speeding violations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey-Smith. Any other, Ms. Negron?
Yes, thank you, President Wilder. I just want to mention, I think Councilman Reynolds for mentioning the other communities, community organizations that are doing events and activities that are in conversation about racism and equity. And I will mention that I know all of you heard about the festival Unbound. And last year, they did an incredible work. You know, before all of you were shocked with horrible videos of the oppression of people of color, they did a whole week of conversations through arts, many ways of arts, and they were talking about systemic racism, they were talking about oppression. You know, the conversation was, we, the people of color of Bethlehem, feel invisible. You know, the conversation was happening, has been happening. They are doing the Torchstone Theater, the festival Unbound again this year, a little different because of social distancing and because of the pandemic. We're going to do, I'm helping out with the Latinx part of it, like I did last year. This Friday, starting at 6 o'clock, we're going to have music outside in the parking lot of Cultural Theater. Everybody in the community is welcome. It's going to be an opportunity to embrace the Latinx community, celebration of our music and our culture. I hope people can make it there. And that is just kind of like the closing of the summer, but the kickoff of the Unbound, the festival Unbound, which again, it's full of beautiful opportunities. And I hope that all of you get to be part of some of it. It's a lot and a lot to do, but you know, they are doing incredible, necessary work, and they're doing it through the arts, which is something that, as I participated in many of their events last year, I was very touched. I really felt embraced through the Festival Unbound last year, and I'm looking forward for this year. I think Councilman Reynolds also mentioned something really important. Many organizations have been doing these conversations, right? And I think that what we need to pay attention as leaders, not just us members of council, but the administration, and even or especially the police department, where are the opportunities for us to engage? Where are the opportunities out there in our community that I should be part of? You know, in many ways, this is a two-way street. It's just opportunities that we've been missing. So I am hoping that all of you, that this administration, that members of the police department, you know, take a closer look at all the different events, you know, churches, nonprofit organizations, YWCA, New Bethany, Hispanic Center, they are all having this conversation, and we should be part of it. So, you know, we cannot be part of every single one, of course, but there are opportunities for all of us to engage. And I think that that is the opportunity that if you really mean that you mean equality for all, if you really mean in your heart that there should be justice for all, you should be part of the conversation. You should be seeking the opportunities to have those conversations. So I hope you take advantage of what's going on in our beautiful city of Bethlehem in terms of our community conversations. Thank you.
Any other new business this evening? Thank you all for joining us. This meeting is adjourned.
Hey.